This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences and dancing monkeys, the sights, yeah,
the sounds,
the scenes, dance, monkey, dance.
I was going to say, from the dancing monkey himself.
We'll get to that, I think, in listener experiences. We got did I tell you about that one?
No.
We got an email from a listener saying he was laughing so hard every time we talked about that. And he's like, he goes, all I could think is I was waiting for you to say, dance, monkey, dance. So I did. yeah, that was great. That was awesome. Nice job dancing there. I got the little cymbals going. I got, that should be,
I got the moves. Oh, I can't even hear. So
I know you can't.
It's all lost on me.
Yep. No, we got lots of stuff. What do you want to get to first? We have a big announcement and we have a fun new feature, that we're going to try out this week. Let's do the fun new feature first,
all right,
and then the big announcement. How's that for a tease, huh?
That's a tease.
All right.
I was going to say the other way around, so I guess.
Well, now
my silence. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't really a silence. I never left you an opportunity to say anything.
Well, that's it. I was actually just waiting for you to stop so I could answer, and then you just went on and just made the decision anyway. So
that's why we're good together. You just let me go. Let him go.
Figure if I just let you keep going, I won't have to think of anything.
There you go. All right. Well, we have this new feature. I thought it'd be good fun for the listeners. We're going to see the future here. And if you can hear that noise, that's right. That's the clock from Top Gun Maverick. And when you hear that noise, that means I'm going to give you the timestamps for the show. So this week's show, we have an announcement coming up at about a minute and a half from right now. And then we're going to get into some Patreon stuff and all of that good stuff. But then we're going to get into our tweaks at 17 minutes and 9 seconds. Then listener comments and listener experiences at 27 minutes and 55 seconds. Steve joins us at 1 hour, 3 minutes, 55 seconds. Then we get into what's new on next Tuesday and 4K releases at 2 hours, 14 minutes, 21 seconds. Then our HT experiences, we got a lot of fun stuff there, and that's coming up at 2 hours, 19 minutes, 40 seconds. And then Thor, Love and Thunder at 2 hours, 50 minutes, 31 seconds. There you go. The whole show laid out for you. I don't know, John. You think that's enough?
I think that's plenty.
How funny is it? How funny is it that it's like, we're sitting here talking about it. We're like, and at 2 hours and such minutes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got that in front of me.
What's even funnier is that, you know, behind the scenes, you're going to go back and dub in the correct times.
Yes.
After the fact. But people watching it on YouTube are going to be like they're watching an old karate movie on Saturday afternoon, because your mouth is going to be saying one thing, but your voice is going to say something else.
No, there's a trick for that. There's a very good trick for that.
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that. And don't you worry about a thing.
I'm not worried. I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fun. Yeah. So that big announcement that was coming up is, well, let's just say, right here. Well, we're moving on up, just to fill you in. I know you can't hear this stuff on the other side.
Yeah. I just think you've lost your mind because you're dancing and moving, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you might be right on both counts. So, big announcement. By the time you guys hear this, it should be active. How quickly we can get it going, that I'll explain in a minute. But I've been behind the scenes. I've been working with Todd Anderson of AV Nirvana, and John and I have talked on this podcast a bunch. John likes to visit the forums, and we laugh at that sometimes, at some of the inconsistencies. So I've always been a person that was like, well, you know, if don't complain, just try to make it better. So I did. Right. And Todd's helped me out. AV Nirvana is hosting it, and we're going to have the Brightside Green Room forum, where it's all green room stuff, all behind the scenes, but it's only open to guests of the show, people that have been on the show. So if you've been on Takeover Tuesday, you'll be able to get into the green room, or a Patreon supporter. And in the future, it'll be I am going to have a place on the website where you can buy a ticket to get you in, you know, lifetime membership to the green room, something like that, to help push the support for, you know, our donations and stuff like that. But it's also a fun place where I was telling Todd today when we were talking about it, like how many people are going to be in there. And it's a decent amount. Probably I'm looking at about 40 to 50 people are already eligible just out of listenership. And it's a small amount, but I think it'll be fun where we can all like hang out and talk about this stuff. Right. I got a DM today from Mike Schramm. And he said to me, he said, I'll read it right now. I was going to put it in listener experiences, but I figure I'll put it here with the announcement because it goes so perfect. So he DM'd me today and he said, I had to go to the website this morning to listen to the podcast because it didn't pop up on Apple. It's there now. He's like, while I was there, I started checking out all the theaters showcased. Seeing Reggie's and Nelson's and John's and everyone else's theater was great because I feel like I know these guys. I got the, oh yeah, I know Nelson, so this is his theater vibe. You've created a community that I not only feel connected to, but also a part of, and want to thank you for that. And I was like, I replied to him like, thank you very much for the kind words. And it's funny how it's like perfect timing for what we were going to be announcing today. And
right.
It's like to draw even more into this community thing and get everybody in together. And it's just, you know, what happens in the green room stays in the green room. Right. We'll be talking behind the scenes stuff, and we could talk whatever we want. And I'm hoping to get even more of like my guests that come on, and hopefully they'll take part in it too. You know, people from the different manufacturers and stuff like that, that we've talked to, all the great people. If you've been on the show, you have an opportunity to be in the green room. So,
right.
Very excited. Hopefully John will even take part.
I don't know. Maybe. You know how I like the forums.
Yeah. So I set a whole one up for you that it should be nice and no issues. You don't have to look at what this person said.
I know. I'm like always sending you screenshots of stupid things that people post.
What was the one this week? Oh, the
guy was asking why Top
ratio.
Gun.
No, yeah, why the Rings of Power, I think it was.
Oh, was it Rings of Power? Yeah, something. He was in the like home theater enthusiasts forum asking about why there were black bars on the top and bottom of his picture.
Yeah. Like, and then he even said in his comment, he goes, and I've seen this on other things too.
Right. I've seen this gradient, which I don't even know what that means, on other things as well.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, you know, questions that you hate to make fun of people, and I didn't respond, so I didn't really
make fun of them. I just sent it to you.
But it's like, you know, everybody starts somewhere and has questions. But I feel like if you're part of the home theater enthusiast group,
yeah,
you should know.
You've seen that black bars
answer,
before.
Right? You should know what that is.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. It's well, oh well. But that's the idea. It's like we're gonna have. Right. I think it'll be fun. It's another opportunity. And yeah, I am trying to promote people to trying to offer something to people that support the show and promote the supporting of the show and stuff like that. And all the charities that we're trying to donate to too. So right. It's a fun way to do all that, incorporate all that. So that, thank you to Todd. Thank you to AV Nirvana, for hosting us and helping us out with that. I believe Todd said that by the time this show airs, it'll be up and running. So here's
that's awesome.
The small issue. I'm away. And when I say away, I am literally as of like 8 o'clock Friday morning, I'm on a 3-day hike in the mountains. So it won't be like email me. So I'm thinking I wanted to get this out because I'm excited about it. But if you want to email me, I will get back to everybody by probably Monday morning. And then, so, because you're going to need to set up an account.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to email out usernames and passwords to everybody that qualifies?
Well, what I would say is if you're eligible for this, email me, let me know you're interested, and then I will send you the instructions. Because as of right now, I don't have the instructions on how Todd and I are going to do it.
Right.
As of right now, it looks like Todd is going to be basically overseeing it. So I was just, instead of, I will get the information and then give it to Todd. So you'll probably need a username and then you'll get permission for this and they'll set you up and then I'll let you know. We're trying to make it as streamlined as possible. I wanted to make it as simple for them as possible. And they're like, nope, it's no problem. Well, Todd's like, I'll run it this way. I'm like, okay, all right. Thank you very much. So, you know, we'll get that all up and going. I just didn't want to wait a whole other week because I think this will be fun to do. Maybe we can get a little conversation going before next Tuesday, something like that. I'm Brightside HT on AV Nirvana. I'm already signed up over there. So that would be the first thing. If you're not already signed up with AV Nirvana, go over and sign up, log in and create a membership at AV Nirvana. And then obviously you'll have access to their other forums and stuff like that. But it'll get you that name. So once you do that, then Todd, that'll actually be the way. So actually, see how stupid I am? See how on the fly this is? That's what you're going to need to do. And once I know your name, I can give it to Todd and he'll give you access to Brightside Home Theater. So super simple. That's actually even more simple than I thought. So I'm not familiar with this. I was going to do it on my own and then I thought of Todd. So I reached out to him and he jumped on it right away. He was like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds like fun. So he took it from there. And I really appreciate that because it's a weight off of me trying to run this, especially knowing what the, you know, it took him a couple of weeks to set it up and write the code and everything for this. So, right. You know, and I'm not saying it's super busy to do that, but, you know, this is extra for them and I appreciate it. So just go to avnirvana.com, sign up. If you already have a username over at AV Nirvana, then just let me know what it is. I'll give it to Todd and you'll be eligible for the Brightside Green Room. So there you go. All right.
Awesome.
I like how I workshop these things live on air.
I know. It's awesome.
You think I could have thought of that beforehand?
Well, you know, these things come to you when they come to you.
You're not bright. Yeah. That was very nice of you. Very diplomatic the way you said that. Well, you know, they come to you when they come to you. Snail mail. All right. So with all of that, you ready to get to some business?
Sure.
Business at hand? All right, sure. Let's get to it. You can always take part in the community on Twitter, at BrightsideHT. Go there. You can give us a follow, talk with all. This is where everybody's talking right now anyways, and it still is a great place to talk. I'm just trying to add something else. Or you can go to brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, like Mike did, and check out the theaters there and check out all the other podcasts we've done if you haven't already. And yeah, and all the links and everything that we're talking about, they should be all in the show notes there, in the show notes or at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. I'm sorry, that's the email. The website, brightsidehometheater.com, is where you go for all that stuff. See, I'm so excited. And if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And what do we got to mash?
Mash that like button.
There you go. Mash the like button. And yeah, really appreciate that. And leave us a comment, we'll get to it, but whether it's a good one or a bad one, they don't care. As long as there's viewer engagement, they're happy. So we appreciate them all. yeah, John, why don't you tell them about your favorite?
That would be patreon.com/brightsidehometheater.
Damn,
DJ. Yeah.
I can't stop thinking of that now.
You need to get me one of those little red hats.
A little red hat and a set of cymbals.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Oh, yes. Thank you very much to everybody on Patreon. And we have a patron of the week. Who is this week's, John? I'm trying to pull it up right now.
Yeah, this week's patron of the week is Dean Matthews, patron for 13 months.
Nice. Thank you, Dean. Thank you very much. We have no new patrons this week. That's okay. That's okay. You guys are all saving it up for the next week.
It is. That's right.
People that are waiting. No, thank you very much. Thank you to everybody that's supporting us over there. We're up to $135 is what the estimated number is, which is really good. Thank you very much. And we'll keep that going. And once, as we've said before, once you get over 200, that's when the number goes up that we've been donating, because we're giving 50% or $100, whichever is greater. Right. So that would be great. Really appreciate that. And don't forget, this month's is the American Heart Association, and link is in the show notes. It's super simple. You just go to, you know, www.heart.org, and bam, it shows you donate once, donate monthly, donate here, donate now. I just literally just read those all off the page.
Yeah. It's like, they're not afraid of money, DJ.
No.
They put it right there on Front Street.
Yeah, but see,
we want your money.
Right. Okay. But they're trying to save lives. We're playing in the sandbox here.
I would say we're trying to save lives too.
Yes.
Because we're donating to the Heart Foundation.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
So
I know.
We are trying to save lives.
Yeah, we're trying. We're helping in our own little way. Yeah. But yeah. Okay. Right. They're literally saving lives. We're just like, if you like us, okay. We'll help. We'll get to help save more lives. See that?
Right.
All right. So even if you don't like us, you're saving more lives. All right. All right. That'll do it for that. Are you ready to get to some tweaks?
Sure.
I think that's what we have next, right? Tweaks.
I believe so.
All right.
Check the timestamp.
John, what's the timestamp on that? We don't know, because I start early and I got to shave that off. Remember? Oh, you, Mr. Production over here. All right. We have a big tweak this week. Another fun one. Not a big one, but a fun one.
Not big.
Pretty extensive, really, though. Let them know, John. I like this one, and I think it's going to play into your listener, your real HD experiences this week, too, right?
Well, it does, yes, because obviously I had to play around with it. I talked about it last week. You know, I ordered the Basics A3 three-channel amplifier that I wanted to add into my system to power my LCR speakers. And so that arrived last Friday. I was able to get up early and install it Saturday morning, just in time to leave to go to work. So I didn't have a chance to play with it at all on Saturday morning, but I did obviously get a chance to mess around with it when I got home from work. So, it's awesome. Really been enjoying it. I don't know if we want to talk about, you know, like the scenes that I watched. I have them listed under, you know, our listener or our like home theater experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so it's kind of hard to talk about the improvements without talking about what those things are, I guess. But in a general sense, it's just cleaner sound, really. That's the biggest thing. You know, you rerun Odyssey, so it dials in your speaker levels, so it doesn't necessarily sound a whole lot louder, because it just compensates your speaker levels for reference level.
Right.
But the sound is better. Like, it's cleaner sound from the front stage. And I've also noticed actually a bigger improvement on the surround speakers, because, you know, they're getting a boost from the added power from the Denon, you know, the Denon amplifier. So that's been the biggest thing. It's not necessarily any louder, but it's a lot cleaner. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I am noticing, I guess I will say, maybe the surrounds aren't louder, but they're more discernible. You know, I'm able to hear more from them. So, I've really been enjoying it for the last couple of days. So
Nice. Yeah, and that's it's exactly what I found. And and you basically kind of did what I did, right? It's like, I mean, I ran a separate amp for my surrounds, but by lightening the load of your receiver, it doesn't have to do anything now. So there's no power suck to those front three.
Right.
And you're just getting all that pure power going to channels that don't really need a lot of pure power.
Right.
And it is. And it's amazing how, it's like, well, wait a minute, I did those and now it's
it's like, because like I said, I'm noticing bigger improvements from the speakers that didn't get an external amplifier, but they did benefit, obviously. It is like they kind of got their own amplifier as well, because now they're getting the full benefit of the Denon, which they weren't getting before. So but yeah, like I said, it's I'll talk about it a little bit more in detail with the scenes that I watched, when we get to that part of the show, and kind of what I found with that. But yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been really nice. I've really enjoyed it. I don't regret it at all. I think it was a great addition, a great purchase.
Nice.
So pretty happy.
Good. Yeah. And it's, let's talk a little bit about your question, which is a legit question. But I guess some people, you had texted me Saturday morning and you worked it through, but it was like,
well, right. I kind of already had the answer to my own question, but I figured I'd send it anyway. And it was basically, should I rerun Odyssey after I get the amp in place? Because, technically I haven't changed the locations of any of my speakers. Like, everything's in the same place it was. But, had I not rerun Odyssey, that's when everything would have sounded a lot louder, right?
Oh, yeah.
because the amp would have been in place. So, before you responded, I was already running Odyssey. Like, I knew the answer. But, it never hurts to get a clarification or a second opinion. Right. Plus, I wanted you to know that I had it in place.
Yeah.
So.
Humble brag.
That I was, that I was messing with it.
Your humble brag.
But yeah, like I said,
you're like, all right, it's all done. Yeah. Now I got to go to work.
Yeah, I just had enough time to run Odyssey and do some of the corrections on the app and load it. I did download it to my, to my Denon, just to be clear.
I had to get ready for work.
So,
should I run Odyssey and download it?
Maybe I did. I don't know.
But, that's what I think of every time. Because we were talking about Saturday, it's like, if you don't, Odyssey is thinking it's sending X amount of power from this amplifier, and it's just going to, now this new amplifier is just going to be like, whoa, it's like a fire hose of power instead of the garden hose you were sending.
Yeah, it would have been a lot louder.
Yeah, and it's just, anytime you do anything, I would even recommend, if you change your speaker wire, I'd rerun Odyssey.
Yeah.
Because just off the sheer, why did you change your speaker wire in the first place? Maybe there is less resistance. I don't know. I doubt it. But it doesn't hurt to rerun Odyssey,
Work. I was already saying last week how I felt like I might need to rerun Odyssey anyways. Well, I guess we could talk about that too, because that wasn't necessarily a tweak. But remember last week I was talking about how I felt like things just weren't sounding like they normally sounded.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that I might have to rerun Odyssey. Well, turns out I was... I don't even know how this happened. I guess, the gremlins came in. But somehow I had dynamic volume turned on.
Right.
And so that was, obviously interfering with the sound that I was getting. And I know we've had a few debates on this show whether, you should use dynamic volume or not. But I will say, from my little bit of brief experience there, things weren't sounding right when I had it on. When I turned it off, they sounded a whole lot better. So I guess there's your answer, right?
You can't get a better blind test than you didn't even know you were going
through. Right.
I
didn't know it was
test.
On, but I was like, I'm running at reference level and things just don't sound the way they should sound. And then I turned it off, and then all of a sudden I'm back at minus 10 again, watching most content because, things were where I was used to having them. I did play around with reference level stuff with the amp, and my wife wasn't home, so I got to do that.
She was at work, and she still heard it?
Yeah.
Turn it down. Wow.
Can you turn it down a bit?
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's the dreaded phrase that we all hate to hear, right? Can you turn it down a bit?
A bit? Okay, just did.
A bit. So I'll go from 100 to 99. You weren't really specific.
Yeah, and I honestly, when you texted me that and told me that that's what happened, I'm like, it's happened to me. I have no idea how it happens. I always think maybe it was something Joe did, hit a button when he's playing his video games or something, just turning the system on. But you don't even have anybody else in the house playing with your
system. No, it's nobody else. Yeah. I don't know how it got turned on, because it's not really simple to do. I mean, it's not hard to do. But it's not like you accidentally do it.
No.
Because there's like four different pages you have to go to on this app to get to the spot where you turn on dynamic volume.
Well,
you know.
On the main remote, though, I wonder, is there a button just...
Oh, maybe, but I don't use
mine's
that.
In a drawer.
You know, I run everything. Everything runs off of my phone, off of the Harmony Hub app. And actually, this is in... You have to make this change in the Denon app that's on my phone. And like I said, I have to hit the gearbox at the top, go to you know, audio. Like, I have to go to a few different places to get to that section. So I don't know how it got turned on, but it was. And like I said, I turned it off and things sounded more like I was used to them. So,
yeah. Yeah, I know. It's surprising when it happens. And it's happened to me a few times. Not a ton, but enough to make it that I just check. Every now and then I'll be watching or starting a movie, especially if it's a movie that you've been super excited to see. You can't wait to experience it. And like when Maverick came out and the first time I loaded that up, and as I'm hitting play and I'm waiting for it to come on, I just boop, boop, boop. Let me check and make sure I check the app on the phone, make sure everything's dialed in. And then, your credits are rolling and you're up and running and bass is hitting you in the chest. So it's all good. But yeah, it's, you never know. It's electronics. And I mean, I don't know. I've made mistakes and I know I've done enough user error in my life, but there's a lot of stuff that you're like, I wasn't even here.
Yeah. So, it's like, I don't know how I did that.
But. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but good. That's a good one. Again, but just like every other thing, it's like, hey, you know, maybe somebody didn't know about it or whatever. So that's a good one. I'm trying to think if I did it. I didn't do anything. I didn't tweak anything this week. Pretty busy week and had a real good time in the theater, though. Real good time. Spent a lot of time on Love and Thunder, going back and forth with that one. And we'll get to that. And I got another big one that I went back through as well when we get to real home theater experiences. So. All right, you ready to get to some listener experiences here?
Sure.
All righty. All righty. Wow, got a few here. All right. All right. Let's lead it off with this. Another digital giveaway. We actually gave away last week. Right away, I apologize. I didn't mark down who won it. Somebody DM'd me right away or tweeted at us right away.
Right.
And said, has anybody won yet? And I was like, nope. And they won. So let me see. We gave it Men in Black last week. All right. I'm going with that one for the last one. So this week's, as of this moment, right now, first person to hear this, email me, DM me, whatever. The first person to reach out will get a digital code for Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. So, right? That's it. The crimes, it's a little blurry. The Grindelwald, sorry, not Grindelwald.
Grindelwald, yeah.
Grindelwald. The Crimes of Grindelwald. You know,
it's a Chevy Chase.
Told you, it was a little blurry here. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Grindelwald. Grindelwald, easy. You know the one, okay? So
that guy,
Grindelwald. The first person to contact me will get the digital code for that. And again, thank you to Justin. And I want to let me see if I can see who it was. Here it is, and I knew it. We are actually, I'm sorry, John Heffel, and he's going to be mad at me for that. He actually donated a digital code of his own. So when I'll add it to the rotation. So after we get through Justin's, we'll add in John's, and then John. So now we have two more to go. So we have Justin's last one. And then that was very nice of him. He, you know, to thank us and to thank Justin. He's like, I'm going to pay it forward. And he has a digital code of his own. And it's actually a pretty good one too. It's one that I think a lot of people don't own this movie, but it'd be a great movie to own digitally if you don't already own it. So thank you, John. And congratulations, John. Sorry. I've called him Mike and Don and everything. So let me get off this because I'm screwing everything up.
Yep.
All right. So that's this week's digital giveaway. Let's see. What do we got here? Omar with the ultimate compliment. Spotify Podcasts put out a tweet. What was the first podcast you ever listened to? And Omar replied, at Brightside HT, the best positive home theater podcast around.
Nice.
And period. He actually put the period in. I'm not just saying that. So thank you, Omar. Really appreciate that. That is like the ultimate compliment right there. I mean, we're just trying to be positive about stuff, have a good time, and we're about home theater. So he got it all. See how he did that? Pretty good. He should be in marketing.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's see. Next up, Paul. He said, hi, DJ. Yes, I got the Heidi reference. Just so you know, it didn't totally fall flat. LOL, Paul. So I made a reference to Heidi during a football game. I think it was in the Takeover Tuesday podcast. WV Brew about ordering discs. He said no VPN, Amazon JP, Amazon UK, random space, all shipped to the United States. Let me see if I'll go to the thing. Yeah. Randomspacemedia.com. If you go there, randomspacemedia.com, and he sent me the link and they'll ship to the United States, and that's where now I'm looking here. Right, I could click on it right now. $39.95, or four interest-free payments, John, of $9.99.
Nice.
Of Spider-Man No Way Home in 3D Blu-ray set. So, randomspace.com. Check that out if you want to look for any of these movies we've been talking about. WV Brew is on top of it, big time. Let's see, what do we got next? Next up, John's giveaway. Thank you very much. We already talked about that. See, I did save it. New comment: is the Lord of the Rings of is the Rings of Power the new power in the streaming universe? Theo says, "Hi guys, great show. My favorite TV show are Rings of Power, House of the Dragons, and C. All high quality to me. Enjoy." I couldn't agree more. All three of those are fantastic home theater experiences. Let's see. That was Theo. Let's see. Next one here. Streaming better than physical tweet. So somebody tweeted out fairly big. I don't want to bash anybody, but tweeted out, if you saw the comment, you'll know what I'm talking about. That streaming was better than home theater, not home theater, I'm sorry, than physical discs. And the quality had better picture quality, it had better sound quality, and it got into a little bit of a debate over the last weekend. And my thing is, it's like, what I had said is, and I was trying to be diplomatic about it, but I agree that a lot of people, most people don't, will never see the difference because they just don't have the systems to be able to pull out the advantages of a 4K disc, right? You got to have a bigger screen or a really, really nice OLED. And even at that, it's got to, you know, you're looking 70, 80 inches to be able to really notice a big difference between what you're seeing streaming and what you're seeing in physical media. Sound, same thing. If you're just running a sound bar, you're not really going to hear the difference between the stream and you know, a physical disc. And the same if you're just running a simple out-of-the-box 5.1 system. You're probably not going to pull a lot more out of that than you would out of a physical disc. Right. And what I was finding was there was a lot more pushback of people just saying, no, you're wrong. And I'm like, instead of arguing, why don't you think, why are these people saying that?
Right.
You know, like if I said something and somebody disagrees with me, I'm like, well, why are they saying that? And it's like, I know the difference. I mean, I think it's funny, this streaming to physical argument and people the other way. Nope, there's no difference. Okay. All right. You don't see it, but you can't, it's there. Trust me. It's there, right. But they don't. Let's see. Tweet from NIKHIL, Home Cinema Geek, at Home Cinema Geek. Watched Get Out on Prime Video. The audio is great. Prime has 5.1 mix, which I upmixed to Neural X. I don't have height speakers, but I used height virtualization. But still, overhead effects are awesome. That says something about the audio mix. Yeah, that movie, it has really nice overhead engagement, because if I remember correctly, there's a lot going on overhead. There's right. Without giving anything. Did you see that one, John?
I did a while back.
And you know what
again,
I'm talking about,
I think
about,
just
though, right?
Just streaming, though, like I don't have the disc or anything.
Hmm. Yeah, but even upmixed, it's like there's some stuff going on over your head at times, right, in that movie, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that it is a good home theater movie. Good home theater movie. John, again, with at Brightside HD, not sure if you're a fan or aware, but True Lies is now streaming in HD 5.1. This hasn't been on streaming or in HD for years. Checked it out last night and thought it looked and sounded stunning. Although that may be because I'm used to the DVD. And he sent that link. I asked him, where is it streaming? And it's streaming on Hulu in the U.S. And thanks to John, we will have more on this in real home theater experiences later, because I couldn't wait to check that one out. So I will give you my thoughts on that movie as well. Let's see. Comment from YouTube. Matt Nelson, I'm 3 episodes into Rings of Power. Season 1, episode 2 was my favorite. Really enjoyed it so far. I think watching it on the home theater versus a 40-inch TV with built-in audio made it feel a lot more cinematic. The ocean scenes in a fully blacked-out room, other than the projector, was very immersive. And visiting the Dwarf Kingdom, I had to rewatch it. Entertaining and beautifully done. P.S. John's comments about being a trained monkey made me laugh each time I heard it. I kept waiting for DJ to yell, "Dance, monkey, dance." Really loving what John brings to the show. You two are great. So there it is, John.
That's nice. That's nice to hear, because I still feel like I contribute very little to this, but I'm happy to be here, so.
Yeah, no, no, trust me, you're contributing more than you can imagine, because my life, even outside of here, is 100 times easier, because I know when I sit down to this, it's not like when I used to have to sit down all by myself,
right?
And you're here, and I love our rapport, apparently other people do.
I was saying, that was ultimately my goal, to make your life easier.
And so. Nailed it!
Yeah, that's... You know, I think about every morning, how can I make your life easier?
So. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem.
So that's the one thing. What if you, so all those other mornings, you just come in a blank?
Yeah. Pretty much. That's all I could come up with.
That was it. Well, it was a big one, and I appreciate the efforts. Oh, man. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, next. Hey, I just found a feature on the iPhone here that I can actually scroll through these emails a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm so stupid. G. Cornell. Tongue
Twister Tuesday.
No. Oh, my mind's going crazy. 2049. What's the movie?
Oh, Blade Runner.
He has BR 2049. And I couldn't, my mind went blank. I'm like,
I couldn't get it. BR. What's BR? What is this BR?
BR. You speak of? I'm like, Briggs. No. BR 2049. Atmosphere sound is well implemented. Watching it without subtitles to judge vocal clarity. Wow. Unable to understand a lot of the dialogue. If I had the subtitles on, the words would have been more discernible, as when you see the word, hearing it is now recognizable. Not an issue of my not having good electronics, good speakers, or proper room acoustics. Complaint? Now he's giving a complaint. Complaint? Oh. Gosling can react quickly in a fight, but takes several seconds to respond to conversation, makes the movie drag. To me, the soundtrack of Blade Runner is there. It's written out. I should have just read further.
There you go. To me,
the soundtrack of Blade Runner is more interesting and offers more diversity of sounds. My work is done. And I was like, well, I have a reply to you, G. Cornell. I have zero issue with the dialogue in this. So one of those things has to be an issue for you. Cause I don't, right. I have no discernible issue in this. And spoilers, I don't want to give out any spoilers, but Gosling's character talking that way, that I believe there's a reason for it. And if you know the movie, you know how it plays out and everything like that. I have my right. thoughts on that. So I think that's, and exactly how you described it is exactly why I think that's what it is. So, very interesting. Good email though. Let's see. Basement. Gurinder, don't you hate when you need a helping set of hands for 10 minutes, but because you don't have them, you can't proceed with your work? So he's in the middle of it, and you're like, I'm stuck.
Oh, and, it's like,
you know, it's like you got to get something up, and you're like, how do I? Gurinder, where there's a will, there's a way. Trust me. And it's like I've built stuff just to hold stuff so that I can do something by myself. It's like where you... And you laugh, but it's like you'll make an A-frame just so you can get a piece of drywall up onto an 8x4 piece of drywall up under the ceiling by yourself.
Right.
So you put it up there and you put that. I've built more crap just to tear down because nobody was there to help me. And I know exactly how you feel. And it's like, it'd be easier if somebody was there, but, you know, look at a log cabin from the day. How did they build that without all the tools we have today?
Right.
All right. This is a comment from VJM on YouTube. Is Rings of Power the new power in the streaming universe? It says, hi, DJ. Great show again. About the different sound modes on the Denon and Marantz, I think you're confusing the sound mode buttons a little bit. Depending on what mode you select, movie, music, or game, the only difference is the available sound modes for each category. For example, movie mode, there are 6 different modes to choose from. Stereo, Dolby Audio, DTS Neural X, multi-channel stereo, mono movie, and virtual. Music mode has these options, stereo, Dolby, and he lists all those. Rock arena, music mode has rock arena, kind of similar to the same thing. He said, of these 3 modes, the only ones that will give you virtual room modes are video game, rock arena, jazz club, etc. If you use Dolby Audio, DTS Neural X, multi-channel stereo, nothing is being added to the sound. It's just pure Dolby, DTS, or PCM with possible upmixing if it's not Atmos or DTS:X. I hope that makes sense. Yes, it all does make sense, but... we weren't talking about all of those. What we were just talking about is like, we're watching, this is all just movies. And when you go in, there's a music mode. There's a, you know, there's a music version and this, and then within each of those, you can actually change those. But this is just for movie watching. And there is something being added to each of those different modes, has a different ambience to your room. And that's what we were talking about. And yeah, you can actually change from within that, which of those you want, which codec you want it and how you want it. You could take a Dolby mode and actually decode it with Neural X if you want. So that's kind of what we were talking about. There's a ton of other options in there, but we don't get into like the rock mode and all of that when we're talking about movies. So kind of all talking about the same thing there. But yeah, that's great information, a lot of information. But yeah, I'm just strictly talking about like movie. Here are the three things, because I'm already set up on when you hear DTS, this is what you get. This is what I'm going to do with it. I'm going
right.
to, I want game mode, boom, flat out, and doing DTS. So, all right. Next up. Oh, here we go. YouTube comment, is The Rings of Power the new power in the streaming universe? No, it's garbage. That was the reply.
Yeah. Thanks.
And I wrote, sorry you didn't enjoy it. Thanks for commenting, though. Yep.
Yeah, thanks. Move along.
Yeah, exactly. I love those ones because whenever you get those negative ones, I find them entertaining because it's usually just an answer to the title. Like they didn't watch anything or anything like that. So,
yeah. Well, like I said, being a frequent resident of the forums, I've seen lots of that. And it's like, okay, fine, you know.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, sometimes I think we're not watching the same things, but.
Well, no, they can disagree and not like it, and that's fine. It's just when you're seeing, like, you know, we got three thumbs down on that one this week, too.
And then, oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had weeks and weeks in a row with 100% thumbs up, and every now and then you'll get a one.
Right,
one
but is the thumbs down for our performance or just the topic we're talking about?
Usually the topic, I think.
Yeah, but that's kind of misusing the thumbs up or the thumbs down, right?
It's actually not. It's you can get, if you run, like, according to the algorithms and everything of YouTube, if we got 1 million thumbs down, we're doing just as good as we got 1 million thumbs up, because we're either pissing off the same amount of people or making the same amount of people happy, and that's all they care about is ratings, right?
Well, right, but that what you're saying is you gave us a thumbs down because we picked a topic that you didn't like.
Right.
And it's like, it has nothing to do with what we might have gone on and said we don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, we could be agreeing with your opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
But you gave us a thumbs down because you didn't listen to the show.
Right.
You just saw the title and gave it a thumbs down. So that's a misuse of your power with the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Oh, yeah.
Down.
Absolutely. You know. But see, I look at it completely different because I don't worry about the naysayers.
Oh, I don't care. I don't really care.
I'm like, we have our followership. Not, we have our listeners. We love all these people. And of course, people are going to disagree with us. Fine. But I'm more the merrier. I don't care if I have, like I said, give me 1 million thumbs down. That's 1 million
people. Right, because it's still engagement.
Right. That's what we're looking for, you know? I don't choose to get my engagement by actually trying to make people angry.
Right.
It just comes naturally to me. Right. Okay, Omar. Omar had a great question this week. He says, hey, DJ, do you know anything about calibrating TVs? He says, I reached out to a gentleman who has been doing it for several years. This is what and how he will calibrate my TV. I'm not sure of his tools or his process. Thought I would ask you. And he went on to describe all, basically sent me everything the guy had sent him in the description. And I thought it would be good to bring up here. You don't need to know all that, because to be honest with you, I don't know all that stuff. I don't know the tools that my guy Jim uses, Jim Doolittle. I just know from sitting with him what he does and watches it and how he does everything, but I wouldn't know how to do it. And that was my description to him, to Omar. I'm like, when you're looking for a calibrator, my advice has always been reach out to somebody, talk to them, and then ask them if they'll let you sit with them. And while they calibrate, because you just love this stuff and you just want to watch and talk to them and stuff like that. And that to me is the gauge on a good calibrator from maybe a scam artist, quite literally, because a good ISF calibration, absolutely. Come sit with me, because you can't steal my info. You can't steal. You're going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to get my equipment and then learn how to utilize it. It's not about that. Right. And it's so get to know somebody and then talk to them. And it's hard to do because you're just cold calling these people. But that's the question to ask. Like, hey, when you come in, can I sit and talk with you? And you know, if you can find somebody like that, that's the person to go with. And I've given that advice a bunch of times because that's how it has worked with me. And you don't want somebody, it's like, no, I don't want you watching what I do. Why? You know, right. It's proprietary. You think I can do this? You're doing so little that you think I could copy it? that to me would worry me. So that's what to look for with this stuff.
Well, and I think I was trying to pull this up because I was looking at this for something else. But, you know, you can go to Cedia, mm-hmm. Cedia's website, and you can find Cedia integrators that do all kinds of things in your area just by punching in your zip code. And these are all people that have been certified through Cedia to follow, you know, whatever requirements they ask for. So,
right.
I would think that would be a good place to start if you don't know where to find somebody.
Yeah, that would be
Right.
That would be how to find a person to talk to. I'm saying once you've gotten to that, because that was like where Omar already had a guy and it's like, and he was asking me like, do you think that this is a good system? Is he doing a good job here? And for the most part, none of us know exactly what these guys are going to do. Right. We're just the enthusiasts. We're not the professionals. And when people ask me this, I'm like, I can't answer that. I'm not a professional myself. But what I can do is the way I test it out on these people is if they're willing to engage with me and willing to sit with me while they do it, that makes me trust them more and that I know I'm getting a quality product.
Right. I would just say this is kind of a way to weed out the scam artists from the legit people, right? Mm. Because again, they've passed whatever requirements, you know, and again, I don't know, for all I know, you could just register and they just approve you and then you're on there. But I would assume there's some kind of vetting process that you have to be, that you have to pass to be listed on their website. So, I would imagine anybody you find on there is, you know, going to use all the latest tools and, you know, they're going to do everything correctly. As opposed to, like you said, the scam artists probably aren't going to be there. So, I don't know. Just throwing it out there because I was looking at it. I don't even know what I was looking for, but I was looking on there for myself not too long ago. So,
cool. All right. There you go. All right. This one from Jason. DJ, 9 hours of podcast in 7 days. You're the man trying to catch up. Anyway, listening to the Rings of Power episode and the comments on comedy and Todd Phillips and John Cleese blame the woke. Not sure you want to go there publicly on the podcast so you don't get canceled, smiley face. And he sent two articles, one from IndieWire and one from Daily Mail. And they were basically, and I don't mind going there. I'm like, first off, you've got to be big to get canceled. But
you have to be something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not worried about getting canceled. It's now and then, like Friday morning, you'll see poof, Patreon gone, everything gone.
Right.
What? John and I will still be here next week.
We got review bombed.
Yeah, we got review bombed. Woohoo! We got reviewed, John.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is the culture right now is these articles are really good. And like you said, one was about Todd Phillips' perspective and John Cleese's perspective. And they were saying that with the culture the way it is today, and I don't think it's just, I wouldn't blame just like woke culture or anything like that. It's just the culture in general, the way it is. It's so easy for people to get upset and then that's bad for your product. So it's hard to make comedies because comedies are, you know, inherently you're going to be laughing at something, probably at somebody. And there's probably somebody in the world like that. So you're like, now what do I do? Right. And we've all said, like, how many movies can you not make today? And what was the one about the Special Olympics that what's his name did? from remember he was he pretended to be in the Special Olympics.
I don't actually remember
that. Oh, you don't remember that one?
No.
Yeah, it's and he had the support of all of the Special Olympics. Right. People are yelling at me right now, but
yeah.
It's movie, and it's the guy from Jackass was in it.
Oh, can't think of his name.
I know. See? Look how good we are. The Ringer.
Okay. I never saw it.
Oh, you never saw it? So he plays Johnny Knoxville plays
right.
He pretends that he's special needs. Right. And he goes into the Olympics, the Special Olympics. But all the other people in the movie were all Special Olympians, special needs people, and it was just a joke. Like what, and people came out against, like, they thought, like, some of the people, this was made in 2005, and people got upset. And can you imagine making that movie today?
Yeah.
And but they had the backing of the Special Olympics because it brought awareness to these people. It brought, some people had seen this movie, thought it was funny, but they didn't even know the Special Olympics existed.
Right.
And it's, things can be, I don't know. But yeah, and that was a great point that Jason brought up. I'll give Jason's name and address and everything so you can yell at him. I'm just kidding.
Again, not to get too much into it. But yeah, I don't know how you are a stand-up comedian today. Like, if that's your profession, I don't know how you do it, because there's so many things that you're afraid to talk about. Like, I don't know what act you have,
Well, that's just it, is now if you see what they're doing, they're literally going right at people and being like, whatever, come at me. Like, right. Chappelle's doing it.
Well, right, but Chappelle, like,
right.
You could cancel him tomorrow, but he's still rich, right? Like, if I'm up and coming and I'm trying to make my name or get out there, you can't.
It's hard, yeah.
Like, Chappelle doesn't care, It's like, okay, you cancel me, that's fine, I'm loaded,
Well, they can't cancel him either, yeah. It's like,
right.
You can't. You know? It's like, he already has a following that won't leave. Much like us, John.
Exactly. That's why we're cancel proof. We can say whatever we want, but
his people aren't going to leave, and this is what we got. We are what we are. So yeah, it's. I think of that, like, even Tropic Thunder. That's another one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, people like, you couldn't make that today, but yet it's coming.
Well, and what's the other one with same thing when the kid was trying to get into college. C. Thomas Howell.
Oh my god!
I can't remember the name of that.
That was like the whole movie was blackface.
But you couldn't, but you couldn't make that today either.
Yeah.
And like, that's not necessarily a bad thing because maybe they shouldn't have been made in the first place. But I don't know. Like,
well, I think sometimes comedies point at our inconsistencies or our our downfalls, right? And they bring light to it and be like, yeah, you're right, that is kind of stupid or whatever. And, just like all these comedians are, they're pushing the envelope. It's always been this way.
Right.
Comedians have always, George Carlin, didn't he get arrested?
Oh, yeah, Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce, all of these guys. They all, like, Lenny Bruce, it was federal, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was arrested. He was in jail more than he was out of jail, I think.
Right. It was like, you're always pushing the boundaries of this stuff. And comedians, artists have been doing it for centuries, doing stuff that's trying to push something, to push a button. And it's just now we have this new thing called social media where the whole world can get on board. And when you get, all of a sudden you get a million likes to something and you think you're empowered, but a million people in the span of the globe is still like a small amount. It's like, and so like you'll get a million likes to somebody that says is against Chappelle. Right.
Right.
But Chappelle's got like 50 million followers.
Right.
So what's the, I don't know if that's the numbers, but you know what I mean? And it's like, if you're not pushing, you're not trying. And that's what they're doing. So, but yeah. Yep. So, it's a great answer to the question, though, Jason. Thank you. And we've just been canceled.
Yeah. Well, we didn't say anything really. So.
No, I
know. I think we skirted the subject masterfully.
I don't think we've ever done anything masterfully, but okay.
I'm not even sure if I said masterfully right.
So. Exactly. Oh, okay. G. Cornell with another beauty. Top Gun. No additional bonus features on the Steelbook. My interest is content, not a magnetic key ring, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then it's not for you. Okay. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it does seem odd, though, right? Like, why would really? There be no special features?
So that they get you to buy the Steelbook, which you want to display, but you want the special features. Now you're going to go buy the other one. Why give the cow and the milk? Put the milk over there and you buy the cow over here. Come on, people. If you didn't know any better, John, you'd think they were trying to make money.
I know, right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And for the guy that doesn't like money,
I know.
I get this. And you guys are all like, come on, give it all to me for free.
Yeah.
Oh, Gurinder again. Hi, DJ. You mentioned you would never be without a home theater because you could use the one in your current home. What happens if your son changes the locks once you get your new place and you're working on the home theater? LOL. So I said that in Tuesday's podcast, talking about how I'm lucky that I don't really have to leave here until then. So, but my answer to Gurinder is I'm renting this place to Joe, so it's technically still mine, so he can't take the locks, change the locks.
can't change the lock.
It's mine, damn it. I won't sell it to him until the other one's built. So, but yeah, I got an answer for everything.
Well, and also, like, what's your definition? Like, as long as I have a screen and a couple of speakers,
yeah.
I have a theater, you know?
Well, that's, I mean, that's what Mark's
I'm not without
for.
Anything, you know?
I know.
I could even watch, it on my iPad and call it a home theater.
Oh, there's a segue. We'll get to Steve in a second.
Yeah. I was gonna bring that up in the whole physical media debate and say what I can't watch it on my iPad.
But, God. No, but that was our conversation on Tuesday. I know you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but Mark and I, the listener that was on with me on Tuesday, he's in between theaters right now. So he had to sell his other house. He's in an apartment while he's building his new house. Right. And it what a great conversation if you haven't heard it. We had so much fun just going over the entire experience of what you do, what our minds do when we're just in the middle of building, right? And like getting ideas, and he's getting overwhelmed, but then like, all right, I got to calm down. But then, of course, you got nothing else to do. You don't have a theater to sit in. But he has been, like you just said, he's got a 70-inch, I think, OLED in his living room or something. And he's like, I'm taking it in that way, you know, and I'll get to see the pictures, the visuals and stuff. And I think he's got a decent sound bar or something. But yeah, you do what you can. And then when you get your theater, that you just appreciate it, you know. And, you know, I mentioned to him that I'm hopefully I'm lucky if things play out. I should just go from here to my next one. But that's an unusual situation. I'm very lucky to have that option, hopefully.
Yes.
Speaking of iPads, nice segue there. So you ready to head over
hop
to
across the pond?
Hop across the pond and talk to Steve. It's gonna be a little bit, John. So you might want to get up and pee. You and I'll be back in about a little over an hour. And then get up, stretch your legs, all that fun stuff, all right?
All right.
All right, let's go say hi to Steve. So, hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, DJ. Good, thanks. Not too bad. Current events notwithstanding.
Yeah, let's hit off with that right away. Mm. Current events. At the time of, we recorded last week on, like, what, Tuesday or something?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Sadly, our podcast kind of came out after, you know, the Queen and everything. So let's get to that. It is a world event. And, you know, not apologize, but sympathies to you and everybody over there. But this is Brightside International, Steve. So Let's touch on it from an expert.
It was a shock. I think she was 96 years old. She'd been in poor health for quite a while. Many of us were concerned about her, and there had been little whispers in the press that she may be more unwell than they were letting on. But nevertheless, it was still a shock. She had been the monarch for 70 years. So not only has she been the head of state for as long as I've been alive, because I'm actually younger than 70, just so that we're clear. There are many people that don't remember any other monarch either. Even my boss, who I was talking to, who is in his 70s, could not really remember anybody else either. So yeah, it's always tough when someone who is as ubiquitous as she was across the world, and who was apparently as pleasant as she was, it's always a shame when someone like that passes. So it's been a bit of a weird week here. It's beginning to settle in, I think. I think people are beginning to realise that, you know, life moves on. It's a shame. And again, I want to say, I've mentioned it to you privately, but I'll mention it publicly, how my sort of gratitude to you, because you reached out to me privately and expressed your condolences, and also to other people on Twitter as well, who are mostly listeners, viewers, friends and followers of this show, who all took the time to reach out to me both publicly and privately and offer their condolences. So I really appreciated that. And you know, it was a really nice thing to do. It's sad and a shame, but the community, the home theatre community, sort of rallied round and reached out across the world. So that was very nice and much appreciated.
It is. I mean, like we were saying, it is a world event, and it's it says a lot about her that we all, like, you know, that's why I reached out to you. That's why everybody, we understand what she meant to people and what, you know, the whole ideal and everything. But over here, like we were joking a little bit earlier, like I can't fathom it over here. We don't have a monarch. And so she was huge. She was a stability, not just to your country, but to the world. It was always like, what does she think of this? Regardless, go back to COVID, right? That's the most recent thing that the whole world has been involved in. But it goes back, you know, obviously 70 years, many decades. I mean, in that your list, the world looked to her on like, okay, well, she's handling it okay. I guess I'm okay. And it's, you know, regardless of how you feel about the monarch or anything like that, it was an amazing stability that she brought to the world that it's a big loss.
It is. And many, many world leaders famously reached out to her privately and sought counsel about all kinds of things. There'd been lots of talk this week about Nelson Mandela famously reaching out to her and having a really close friendship and, you know, and he was building a country. I think her reach certainly was around the world. Someone said this week, she's the most famous woman in the world. And I think it would be hard to disagree with that, I think. A very sad thing to mark. But we move forward. We've got a new king, her son, King Charles III. Funny enough, he lives about 10 minutes away from where I live. He's
nice neighborhood.
Yeah, no, I guess. Yeah, his house is a bit different to mine.
Does he have a theater? Something of a name.
Well, who knows? Perhaps we should go and find out.
We got to get him on the show.
Yes, that's it. Get the royal seal of approval.
I can't wait to have that takeover Tuesday.
That could be very interesting. Yeah. Actually, he was a fan. He is a fan of Sony stuff. That I can tell you.
Oh,
because,
really?
Of course, as the owner of a Sony projector and a Sony TV, because when the Sony box turned up with my TV in it, it says by appointment to His Majesty the Prince of Wales. So he's a Sony fan. So who knows? Maybe he is.
Wow.
A theatre fan.
I kind of imagine he's probably got that in a bowling alley. I don't know.
Yeah, basketball court.
Indoors, in his basement.
Yes, well, you'd have to have that.
Exactly.
Over here, you would.
Oh, man.
So there it is. She'll be missed, but onwards and upwards.
Way to go. Nice segue. What do we got for Onwards and Upwards this week? Where are we going with our home theater chit-chat this week internationally?
Right, Dan.
I know you got a lot.
Yes, I have. I have, actually. I have seen quite a bit. Although I have failed in my homework, I haven't watched Peacemaker. Sorry.
That's okay. I haven't watched... Only the Brave? Yeah, I haven't watched that yet. So we got something already on board for next week. All right.
Confession out the way. That's good.
There we go.
Now, so what I have seen is Thor Love and Thunder again. Yeah. Now, I think it should be previously on Brightside International, Thor Love and Thunder, to catch everybody up. okay, so first time I saw it, hated it. Probably fair to say.
Yes.
And we talked about that. If anyone's wondering, if they're listening and watching and want to know where this comes from, that was the second Takeover Tuesday where we talked about it at length. And I said then, racist, homophobic, misogynistic, hated it.
Was there any other thing you could throw in there?
Well, negative? I don't know. Opportunistic.
You got them all.
Yeah. So, hated it. So I've now seen it again.
And? Did you knock one of them off there, or did you add to it?
Well, I took a leaf out of your book, first and foremost, because what I did is I put a tweet out with just the picture of the end of it and just put a little sort of, you know, emoji like that, because I thought we'd wait for this to see what I thought. It's a lot better the second time round, is the answer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, a lot better is not saying much, considering you are pretty far down. I mean, any one of those things, people never want to be called, and you hit them with all three.
Well, indeed. I'd say, let's see. I went from probably a 1 out of 5, maybe, to probably a 3 out of 5 this time. So, it's still weaker Marvel for me. It's still down there with the Eternals for me.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, I didn't hate it this time, and I found it much more enjoyable this time around. I think we can get rid of the misogynistic. I think we can get rid of the homophobic stuff as well, which I was a little bit concerned about last time. I still think Russell Crowe is doing a Greek accent,
and it's weird.
I still think the Chris Pratt Mario American Italian issue is relevant here. I think he's doing Greek, and I think he's doing it in an inappropriate way personally.
Okay.
However, this time round, though, what did strike me is it seemed that went by much more quickly. It seemed to take an age when I saw it in the cinema. It almost felt like it was a 3-hour sequence in and of itself. This time round, it flew by. Yeah. So I didn't get time to get angry at it as I did when I saw it in the cinema. It came, it went, and it was gone. And then it was like, okay, fine. And then I could just sort of enjoy the rest of it. I thought Christian Bale's performance was much better this time. But that feeds into the home cinema of it, because I think the HDR in the dark scene and the color of his eyes and the sort of the blackness of the surroundings and the detail levels made it much more menacing. Mm. And I actually thought he was very, very good this time around. So film wise, better, not brilliant, but better. AV wise, picture quality for me, I didn't think that the IMAX sequences in this were as sharp as Multiverse of Madness. I don't think they're as sharp as some of the other, in fact, even the Avengers, Endgame, Infinity War.
Right.
But I think that might be deliberate. I think there was a deliberate slight haze on some of this to give it an almost a classic sort of Clash of the Titans almost look about it. It's got a very slight mythical haze to some of it, so you don't get those details in the close-ups that we've had before, I don't think.
It's not on the stream.
Go on, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I think what you're seeing on the stream, and I've gone back and forth, I think when you see, if you were to decide to purchase this, the vibrancy is insane. And I think what you're seeing on the stream is that haze will be gone. Because what it is that's the glow of, you just can't send this through. Travis said it on Twitter, or did he? He might have just sent it to me. I don't know. But he had to turn his vibrancy down. He had to actually download. He has an older JVC projector that doesn't have the tone mapping. Okay.
Right.
So on Kaleidoscape, he actually bought the Ultra version. or downloaded. I'm sorry. You get both of them. So he started with the HDR and it was blowing out like crazy. He goes, I've never seen, he'd never had this happen. Then he went back and did the Ultra, which is basically all the colors, but it's in SDR, right? And his projector handled that. And he goes, it was beautiful. He goes, I can't even imagine what this looks like with good HDR. I think you would, this movie is, it's absolutely insane. It's so bright. It's so vibrant just by the colors. I mean, his costume and everything.
Yeah, just, the blue of the armor and that looks, yeah.
So I'd be interested to see what you thought of it that way, because I think that haze you're talking about is just like literally the glow of the entire screen. And it's like it doesn't know how to do it streaming-wise, the compression going on.
Which it could be. I mean, because the pores, the skin pores, bearing in mind Rings of Power, which we'll talk about in a minute, which we've been watching, and that, you know, you can see the pores of skin in that. It's razor sharp. And yet, when going to this, even in the IMAX sequences, and of course, this isn't IMAX throughout. This has got variable aspect
ratio. Yeah.
And I was looking very closely at it because I loved, as you know, Multiverse of Madness on the, you know, on both the stream, and but especially the disc. And it was noticeably less sharp, I thought. I mean, the colors are beautiful. It's vibrant as all hell. You know, it's lovely. But it didn't seem to me as detailed. And I wondered if that was a deliberate choice. I wondered if they were trying to go for a mythical look to it, especially it's not Olympus, is it? But the god area. And I wondered if they were trying to do this, because if you watch Clash of the Titans, the originals, and indeed even the remakes, you know, they've got that sort of sheen and the sort of the shimmery background to it. And I wondered if they were trying to emulate that a little bit. I might be wrong. I'll know when
It makes me want to go back and look for that detail myself and see if,
It just was a little less sharp than I've been used to with the IMAX sequences. Right. But then audio-wise, it needed to be bumped up again. It did the stream, and of course, I'm only talking about the Disney Plus stream. That needed to be bumped up quite a bit. I went to 10 dB plus on that. But once I did that, I thought it was decent. I thought it was good. It would, you know, the overheads were nicely used. Whenever, you know, there's a thunderbolt, it goes up and to the top of the screen. But I'm sure that's better on Kaleidoscape. I've got no doubt.
Yeah, the physical, this is not, it is not Ragnarok. It has some really nice bass in it. I really enjoyed it. I was, I want to say pleasantly surprised. But I will say it isn't Maverick. It's the bass it just doesn't engage like Maverick does. But it does have some nice, nice deep bass in there, some, there's a lot more texture and detail to the bass, to the entire, you know, audio track is a lot more than it is on just like on any Kaleidoscape. And it's like, the more times I do this, I'm just hearing, it's not, I mean, it's nice to raise it the 10 dB, but when you do that, you're raising everything. So you're really missing that dynamic range where it goes from really quiet to a nice big punch. It is an advantage to do that, but to be able to hear that in the home. But then once the physical version is going to be so much better than what you're seeing here.
I had pre-ordered it and I was thinking, well, if it's as bad when I see it again as when I first saw it, I'll just cancel the pre-order. So in this respect, Disney Plus has done me a favor because by letting me see it this way and then think, actually, it's not as bad as you thought it was. Again, much more comfortable in Cinema George. And you go with an expectation. You're ready for some of the weaker elements to then maybe not be so bad. And sure enough, it was fine. So I've kept the pre-order in. I won't break my Marvel 4K film
streak.
Which is really good, because that would, you know, the not OCD, the particular part of me would have struggled a little bit with that.
I know, you own Eternals.
Well, indeed, and I've still not gone back to that. I need to get back and watch it again.
Really?
Because I actually like that stream.
I
might like it more second time round. Bear in mind, I've only seen it once, and the first time I saw it, you and I were tweeting backwards and forwards about the problems with the video on that. So it may be that when I watch it again, I will enjoy it more. I'll get around to it eventually, but there's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
That I do want to see it again. But at the moment, Love and Thunder is still at the bottom of my Marvel pile, but it's not offensive this time. Last time it genuinely was. I was angry last time, as you might recall. But yeah, this time I know. I'm not.
that's great. That's excellent. Progress.
Well, there you go. Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards. Theme of the show. All right, what's next?
So there's one I watched last night, and this one I wanted to raise because this one I think is one that most people have never heard of, and this is one I really want to, which is, again, I'll hold it up for anybody watching on YouTube. So that's The Outfit.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay. I can't wait to hear about it. Yeah, The Outfit.
Yeah, so yep. I watched it last night. Now, this is a film that I came across by accident. I've said it before. Forgive me, anyone hearing it again, but I came across it by accident. I saw someone mentioned it somewhere on an article somewhere, and I thought, what's that? And then I sought it out. It's out in 4K here. I don't know if it is in the States. I hope it is, but I don't know. Anyway, I watched it last night. So this is a film that stars Mark Rylance and a few other theatre actors rather than any real A-listers. It's a one location drama stroke thriller. So it's all set in 1956 in a Chicago tailor's. And Mark Rylance plays he calls himself a cutter. Everybody else calls him a tailor, but he says, I'm a cutter. A tailor just puts buttons on. A cutter actually does the suits. And essentially, it's a front for mob bosses. And obviously, 1950s, they're coming off the back of Al Capone and everything else. And it all takes place over one night when things start to go wrong. And it's all then about Mark Rylance trying to, you know, address these issues, if you'll forgive the expression, with dress and a tailor, trying to look at these issues and deal with it and also keep everybody happy and not end up getting killed. And it's a film, and it's a really quiet film. It's got violence in it. There are shootings, there are, you know, blood and guts, but not lots of it. But it's a really clever film with lots of little looks between the characters, lots of little little glances and that kind of thing. It's really good and much more worthy of recognition than it's been getting. Now, bizarrely, it's got a Dolby Atmos track.
Why is that bizarre? Yeah, because it's so quiet?
Well, because it's set in one, well, maybe two rooms. Okay. Now, interestingly, at the beginning, he goes into the shop and there you can hear the L. Is it the L? That's the elevated train, isn't it, in Chicago? So yeah, you can hear that moving around in the background and in the ceiling, in the height speakers. And there are a couple of sequences in it where you then get, you know, some sort of response to it. But it's all in the detail. This is a quiet Atmos track. Now, I can't think easily of another movie like that. I've been trying to think of another one where it's an Atmos track about literally, it sounds so trite, doesn't it? But it's literally about the atmosphere of this room. I think you'll be very curious to see what you think of it. Certainly listening to it at reference levels or anybody that gets a chance to see it, because it's very quiet, but effective in that quietness, because it's about the detail. Yeah. So it's a really interesting film. And one I think most people really like. It's only short. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. It's not a lengthy movie, but it is well worth seeking out and having a look at. Is it on Kaleidoscape? Have you had a chance to search? Is it there?
No, I was looking. How do you spell it again? Just to make sure I get it.
Literally, The Outfit. Same way, Outfit. Yeah, literally as it sounds. The Outfit is a double entendre too, as in mob bosses and, of course, the outfit a tailor might provide. Is it there?
Yes, but I could get it, but it's only in DTS 5.1.
Oh, you see, it's all right. you could upmix it and
oh yeah.
You know, see, but it's such an interesting example of a quiet Atmos track rather than the ones we're all used to. You know, the ambulances, right. the Thors, you know, the we want the booms, we want the bangs, and we want the envelopment. This is about a very subtle sound. It's really interesting. So that's what I watched last night.
Yeah,
I'm very impressed with.
But to be, I mean, that's one of the most popular Atmos, if not the most popular Atmos track, is Gravity, and it got its claim to fame out of that opening scene that is so quiet and detailed.
Yeah,
right.
And but this is the whole film.
Right. So that's very interesting. It's, Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, because Gravity's got that boom and the bang in terms of the,
they when, do. When they that have
space
those
station really goes. You, yeah,
right.
This film is all about the detail. There are some action scenes. There are some, you know, as I say, there are some bits, but this is about detail. There, for instance, again, I might not be explaining it very well, but you know, when he's cutting the suits, he uses these old shears, and as he's cutting them, you can always hear the fabric being, you know, cut in that way. The detail of it is really something. So yeah, I'd be very curious to see what people make of it, and I've you know taken it upon myself to tell people about it because I'm just curious to see what others make of it. So yeah, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, I can get it on Amazon Prime. I can get it from Amazon, the 4K disc for $46.
That's the English one, isn't it? It's got to be for that price.
Yeah.
Got to be. That's not going to be the US one for $46.
Yeah, $46. Blu-ray and digital. Yeah. Yeah. Or I can get it.
Is it available digitally in 4K?
What's that?
Is the Kaleidoscape 4K but only DTS HD?
Or it's
is
4K it... with DTS 5.1, yep.
Oh, strange.
Yeah. Oh, they have that a lot of times. They do that a lot of times.
Okay.
We'll see a lot of movies. Like I said, Jurassic Park's like that.
Of course, yeah.
Jurassic Park's in DTS.
But it's worth seeking out. I genuinely would say
I'll check that out.
You know, if you can do it, because I'll be curious to see what others make of it. There are a couple of people on Twitter that have responded to my review last night who were saying, really enjoyed it. I think it's Mark Rylance's best performance on screen. I mean, he's a theatre actor, isn't he? And obviously he's done a lot of films now. But I think this is better than Dunkirk in terms of his performance. He's very, very well done. And of course, as with any film like this, no one is entirely as they seem. Everybody's got secrets from everybody else. And it's a very cleverly done, subtle performance. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. And one of those lovely blind buys that you get every now and then, where it's not just a good film, it's a really good film.
Yeah.
So there's that one.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not going to click and buy it right now because I don't want to screw up our feed. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a horror film, so that's good. So we're off to the races already, which is good news.
Yeah.
Because I realized recommending you horror films doesn't tend to get me very far. The good news is it's not that.
That's funny. I just talked to somebody. I think it was a Takeover Tuesday I recorded where we talk a lot of horror. Yeah, I think it's the one that's out next week. I think it comes out next Tuesday I recorded. And we had a great conversation about it. And that I am apparently I am a horror fan, just a certain segment of horror. So, yeah.
Right. Well, that will be interesting. All right. I look forward to listening to that. So other than that, Rings of Power, I'm up to date with that. Loving that.
Yeah.
So good. And how are you getting on with that? I mean, obviously, I know you might be talking about it with John, but
I don't know if we're going to talk about it a ton because he's got some stuff. He's got a bunch of stuff this week as well when we get to that. Mm-hmm. But we'll touch on it a little bit, but I don't mind touching on it with you here. It's like, no, I love it. Absolutely love it. It's again, I finished Fellowship of the Ring, and I'm about to start Two Towers, and because of that, and I love going back and forth between the two. Like, I have the extended version of Fellowship, and I just pop that in. I watch a segment of it, but then it gets me through until the next episode, and I've really, really, I mean, the picture is I'm blown away by how good it looks because it is streaming. Now it's not as good as the physical. It's not as good as, you know, the movies are look and sound, but it is absolutely, it's gorgeous. And like you were saying before about how it's shot and it looks so similar to Peter Jackson's that, like I said last week, I highly recommend going back and starting Fellowship again. And just it's even more evident when you do that. It's awesome.
It's so well done. And you know, the orc sequence where they're under the canopy, so you've then got the sunlight beaming through and you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it just looks incredible. I mean, again, for $1 billion, it should. but it's just such a clever series and so good. I think there are 10, aren't there? And I think we're going to get to 10 and just be
I think
like,
it's eight. It's only eight.
Is it only eight? Oh, yeah, wow. So we're going to get to eight and be like, when is the rest?
I know.
But because the story they're telling seems to have such sweep to it and such scale,
yeah,
that this is not going to be done. This is not going to be wrapped up in six more episodes. Five more episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's clearly a story here for the long run. But it's really, really good. And so very, very pleased with that.
But they're each an hour long as well, which is great. It's not like we're getting a 40-minute episode or a 35. You're getting a good, solid hour of content, which if it's 8 episodes, that's Return of the King. It's a 4-hour movie, right? And they really are the production value that we're getting out of this. Mm. It is cinema-esque. It's the same thing. So that doesn't surprise me. And I think it shows a lot of what the future is going to be like too, you know.
Do you think anybody else though would dare or would even have the resources to throw $1 billion at something? Apple couldn't do it. And do you think they could? Could they?
Look at what they're doing with Foundation. They're doing the same thing. I think a lot of that billion came from getting the rights too. They had to pay for the rights to Lord of the Rings, and so they got charged for that. I think Foundation. I love Foundation. I know a lot of people on Apple TV. They didn't enjoy it. They don't like this. I was the same way. I'm much like I am with this Lord of the Rings of Power. I was like with Foundation. I just wanted more. They had a podcast at the time. It's still out there, but that went along with it, which was very good because it was the director. It wasn't just two, you know, jamokes like us sitting down talking about it. Mm-hmm. It was actually the director telling you each episode how they did it. That is planned for they have written 8 seasons on that. And I think they've been greenlit for 4 already, definitely 4. And when they sit down with Apple and they go over the stories and stuff, and he says this in the podcast, he goes, oh yeah, this scene here is going to play out in season 5. And they're like, okay, let's back the truck up. Let's see if we get to there. And then they end up, obviously by the end of the season, I think they said they're pretty much locked in. So, but same budget, same idea. They put a lot of money into that, and it looks and sounds like they did. So,
yeah, I just wonder whether this is, you know, is it the future where, because bear in mind, so few companies are going to be able to throw that kind of money at this sort of scale. And still, I mean, even Amazon was saying right up to the day of release, if this doesn't work, this is probably the end. Like quite openly, as I understand it, if this doesn't work, that's probably the end of Amazon Prime. Because this is just we can't do this and not get a return. So, but if it is the future, we are very lucky, and you know, bring it on, I say.
Right. I had this conversation just recently with somebody, and I said, I think seeing and hearing what I'm seeing and hearing now, and the story itself, I listened to that quote completely different now. It's a completely different context to me. So what I think Amazon was saying is they knew exactly what they had in the bank. Mm-hmm. They knew, we hadn't seen it yet. It hadn't come out yet, but they knew. And now put it into that context. If you know how good of a product you have, what do you say to that? You say, and it's with a touch of sarcasm, if this doesn't make it, we're done. Because nothing's going to make it, right? Am I right?
Okay, yeah.
You see what I mean? So when you look at it in that context, we all took it as like a threat. Like, oh no. But no, I think they meant it we're that sure of it. If you put it into that context and you, if we got to talk to the person that said that, they'd be like, yeah, that's what I meant. We knew how good this was. And if nobody wanted to watch this, well then what are we doing? Nobody wants to watch anything, right? And I think it could be the future because look at the money they're putting in. What are does it pay off for them? And other people are going to see that and be like, all right, well, you've got to have a good story. You've got to have good production value. But if you have all those things in place, you can, it makes it worth it.
Well, I hope so. I do because this, you know, if this is, let's hope it is because it is so good.
Yeah.
But if this is the template for things going forward, we all win. Everyone benefits from it. I mean, and I genuinely hope it is because it is. It does seem to be absolutely incredible. So, yeah, it's really good. Bring it on. Looking forward to watching even more of that. That'll be great. So that was it. I think in terms of content for this week. However,
Ooh.
There's another disc here, but I'm not going to hold it up because let's talk, if you don't mind, about reviewing.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into this.
Yeah. No, I don't want to show this disc because if I show the disc, it might give it away where I'm talking about. And I don't want to.
Yeah, reviewing. We had a little bit, and I mentioned it in the on Twitter. I was like, this will be a good conversation. Take it away, Steve.
Okay, so you and I, now we're going to be careful here because I don't want to identify the reviewer because it wouldn't be fair.
Right.
And it's not the person that we've talked about before. This is a website, totally different. Where now you and I have been, but we know, don't we, a good disc, a bad disc, and an all right disc.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair? And it's fair to say if you're in the middle, there is room for argument. Mm-hmm. But if something's either really good or really bad, it's clear. Mm-hmm. So I saw a film earlier in the week from the 90s, late 90s. It's an action film. And it has, because it's from the 90s, it's obviously going to have a certain look to it. Shot on film, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The HDR is decent on it, but it's got an Atmos track. And the Atmos track is dreadful. And by dreadful, what I mean is it's very forgettable. If someone had said to you the Atmos wasn't working on it, you'd have been like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense because there's just not the envelopment and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular disc is the first release from a below-the-line studio. Okay, so it's not a normal studio that are releasing, which probably already has identified it, but there it is. I'm not going to actually say it. So I watched it. And I was a fan of the film when I was younger, and I'm really glad I, you know, watched it again. It was all right, not as good as I remember it. But the Atmos track was dreadful and very forgettable. And so I read a review, and the review was from someone from a website where their reviewers sometimes list their equipment. And I've seen in the past the reviewing them based on a 46-inch screen, 56-inch screen, and an all-in-the-box home cinema setup, so literally everything that implies. And I didn't read it for this reviewer, I must admit, but this reviewer said the Atmos track was a reference track. Now I don't get that, and I can't get my head around it, and normally if it's a middling thing, I can think well, maybe they've got a cooler system than mine, maybe that's just better, which is fair enough. But it's not reference, and I can't get my head around it. And so, as I want to do when I get annoyed about this stuff, in the old days, I'd tell some friends or family, they'd roll their eyes and say, you know, go over it, Steve. Whereas now, of course, I can shout at it to the void via Twitter.
Right.
and reach the world.
Right.
So I don't understand it. I mean, I don't know if you've encountered that. Where your opinion is, my opinion is not an outlier. I think there are other reviews out there that say that this disc is the same.
Right.
But I can't get my head around how someone can say something's reference that is not even close. Anyway, that was.
Well, I now see what's funny is I can relate to that because I'm Brightside, right? And my biggest downfall that everybody, and it not even this podcast, I've had this my entire life. Oh yeah. Whoa, you're just, people actually diminished my opinions. And this is outside of home theater. This is in real life because I always see the good. They're like, yeah, you can see good in anything. I don't care if you like it. Mikey likes everything, right? That was a commercial over here. I don't know if you know that one.
Mikey likes it. Yeah.
Right.
No, I know that.
Right.
From I Know What You Did Last Summer. No, Urban Legend.
Oh, okay.
About. Mikey likes it. Yeah.
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 So, But see, here's the thing. And I used to have to rationalize it myself because I'm not making this up. It like, say I actually like something. I know I liked it at the time. Why did I like it? So what I had said to you on Twitter is like, when you said like, how could somebody like something that's so dreadful? It's like, well, it is art, right? So if it's a piece of art and it really spoke to that person and they were really engaged, then you're going to amplify things. And now we happen to be talking about something that has amplification in it, speakers and all that. Right. So you're going to be like, so engaged in this and be like, wow, that was great. Doesn't mean that they're accurate. Okay. But what you have, like what I would do if I knew the person, I would ask like, how did you get here? How did you understand that? If I don't know the person, I don't even pay attention to it. Right. Cause it's like, I'm not going to argue with people. I just know that. And to your point, like we can go over the, what kind of system. I would tend to believe that the people, the lower your system, the more you flatten everything out and it all sounds similar because you don't get to have the advantage of the highs. You don't get to experience how great something can really be. Whereas like if you're on a 46 inch with a sound bar, that it can only get so good. Right. And you're not, so you probably don't even know what bad is, because bad is not bad, but it doesn't drop very far. Whereas the bigger you go, you'll be like, oh, now you see the advantages of it. So I said to you on Twitter, I'm like, I used to read reviews to try and get an idea on movies that I'd want to buy. And I was so excited, like you'd read something. But then what I found is, and again, this is years and years before I had a podcast, is I'd read a review and then I would go and watch that movie and be like, but I saw it in the theater and I really liked it. But now I can't help to think that he didn't think the sound was very good in this. So now I'm listening. Mm-hmm. You're actually listening for what they heard instead of just experiencing it. So that's why I'm like, I try to avoid all reviews of things and people like, oh, I don't like, of course you hear murmurs. Oh, this stinks and blah, blah, blah. But as long as I'm like, I don't pay attention to it. And then I'll make my own opinion. And then you start to see, you can always find somebody that's going to agree with you and always somebody to disagree with you. So, you know,
it was a bit of a shock in this case. And as I said, normally I understand the middle ground where we can argue about the merits of something. But as I said, this was kind of more, I was, you know, over here and this review was over there. And it blew my mind. But that was the first review issue this week. And then another one arose today.
This morning, which I think. And I agree with you.
Yes, this one is where we'll have common ground. Again, we're in the middle here, which is so someone on Twitter earlier was reviewing Thor Love and Thunder and said at the beginning, first watch, let's see what people make of this. And then I thought, I'd be interested. I'm curious. Obviously, my opinion changed. Let's see what they think. And then clicked on it, and there was a thread of about 30 tweets, all done during the film.
Yeah.
So live tweeting it as they went, and that just blew my mind.
Yeah, yeah, because you're not experiencing the movie. You're getting to something. Now, what really like angered me about stuff like that is it's a 2-hour movie, right? Not only that, it's a 2-hour movie that came out months ago. It's not even out on physical yet, but it just dropped on Disney Plus. So this is your first opportunity to see it. And you're going to live tweet about something. You're not beating a deadline. It's out. Everybody know, if you care about the movie, you've already seen it. But now you're going to take the time to live tweet. So whether you like something or dislike something while you're tweeting, you might be missing the payoff to whatever the hell you're talking about. Because now you're doing this and you're not looking at the screen. You're not doing it. It's like, I spend way too much time when I break down a movie to be like, this donkey is going to live tweet while he's trying to on a first watch. I'm like, I watch a movie. I do a first watch. And even just coming up with the idea of a timestamp, it's like just to be able to grab my phone and without taking my eyes off the screen, just do a screen grab. So I know the timestamp. That's how I get my timestamps. Then I go back through and I'll watch it. And here's what I've found is really interesting. And this is me, I saw something or heard something and I come back to it because I know there's a timestamp there. Something affected me. Something made me go, you got to tell your listeners about this. And damn it, Steve, I get to these stamps and I'm like, I don't see it. I don't hear it. But it's like, but then you back up 5 minutes and work yourself into it. And all of a sudden you'd be like, there it is. And you knew because it was part of the context of the story. So it's like for people to be stopping and live tweeting while they're watching it. And like you even said, or I think it was somebody responded, even if you pause the movie, you've just ruined the flow. And these all have flow to them. There's a design to this. And you just took all of that, all the work that the writers, the artists, everybody involved, and you just like threw it out the window so you could be like, this is my review. Well, that's not a review. That's just some donkey talking about a movie while he watches it. Which, by the way, when you're watching a movie, I don't want that donkey sitting next to me. talking in my ear.
Quite, yeah. Well, this is the beauty of home cinema, isn't it? That we go back to my argument about home theater being better than commercial stuff. But yeah. Yeah. So the chap you were just talking about there, that was Bradley Bjornstad, I think it is. He's a filmmaker.
Oh, okay.
So no wonder he was offended at the idea of someone watching a film through first.
Yeah. Day.
So I get that. I mean, I just don't understand that logic at all. I don't get how someone would do that and then purport to give an opinion on a film when you've just not watched it. You've just watched a series of clips rather than an entire film. Film reviewing, we both review movies. You and I both do it, and we do it from our own perspectives and stuff, and we do it, and that's fine. And Twitter and this has given us the option and the ability to do that. But it does suggest that there is a definite dark side to reviewing, and some are playing a bit fast and loose with it, I suspect, from both of those examples, I reckon.
I would agree with you, but at the same time, I wouldn't take that away from them, right? Because like my listenership, you know, there are a lot of people that listen or would hear about this podcast and be like, he's positive about everything. And they don't even like that. They want the podcast that, you know, and I know some podcasts that all they do is that they can't wait to bash something. And there's a listenership for that, right? So there's nothing there's, and now here's the bright side of that dark side. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a listenership for that. The irony, in my opinion, is the dark being negative. So easy. You can find negative in everything.
Yeah.
Try to find positive in everything. It's a lot harder. It's like, so that's why, like, I appreciate our listeners that, you know, these are the people that love what we're talking about. We've cultivated this audience to be, it's just people that understand our reviews, you know, and I'm sure that if this person, whoever they are, just do your reviews. If they're all 100% negative, but you have a following, more power to you. Then that's great. That is a place for those people to go. I don't agree with it, but that's why I don't do that. So let them do that. And those people can go there. And the people that enjoy how we break stuff down, they can come here. That's all.
And to be fair to that person, they're honest about it. It would be, you know, the ones that would be the really unpleasant ones are the ones who claim to have watched the whole film, but were live tweeting it themselves and then, you know, or watching it in bits while they messed around on their phone and then claimed to give it. At least they were honest about the opinion, which I think is probably the best bright side I can come up with about it. And as long as it's an honestly held view, then it's got equal merit, hasn't it?
Yeah. And that's just it. It's like all you can do is be yourself. Do it. Do whatever you want to do and let the chips fall. And it's like I said that when we started podcasting. It's one thing to just say that out, but to actually put out a podcast and be like, this is where I am. This is who I am. And I just like-minded people will follow you. And that's how we all ended up together. So, I mean, and some big news on that. Actually, you know what? I probably already did announce it with John, so I might as well talk about it here with you. Brightside Green Room. You know about it. I told you a little bit about it. We've been talking about it in the past, but I'm hoping you'll be a part of that. You're gonna participate in Brightside Green Room.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll be happy to walk on the door and you know, doorman or door staff and make sure that you know, name's not down, you're not coming in and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm real.
Look, it sounds fun.
It's literally just to like what you were just saying, it kind of worked right into that, and I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited to get that kicked off, and Our buddy Todd's taking care of it for us over at AV Nirvana, and he's going to host us and host all the Brightside home theater. I don't know what we got to come up with a name for the people that are in the green room. I don't know. We'll workshop that one. But yeah. All right. What else? You got anything else?
And then we've got new releases, I suppose, for next week. Week next week. Big week next week. We've got Elvis, which I know you guys have already got. But we've also got...
No, I don't think we have it physical over here yet.
Yeah? No?
I don't think so.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think that does drop next week if
Okay. Right. Well, we get Elvis as well on Monday. But we also get The Lost Boys. We get Poltergeist. And we get Crawl as well, all in 4K next week. So it's a fairly decent week for new releases, all of which I've got pre-ordered. So I'm looking forward to those. I'm not a Lost Boys super fan like so many other people seem to be. I like it, but I'm not a super fan. But I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I haven't seen it for donkey's years. But Poltergeist, great film I grew up with. Again, I'm sure I saw it far too young. That and Crawl, which should have an absolutely barnstorming Atmos track. It is in Atmos. That the whole thing takes place during a storm. You've got the wind and the rain and everything else. That should be, I'm hoping, a proper reference disc rather than the 90s film we were talking about earlier. So that should be very, very good indeed. Fingers crossed. I'm really looking forward to that. And Elvis as well. I haven't seen it yet, and I know you have. Oh. And I know all the reviews are that it's decent. So I'm really looking forward to checking that out. And friend of the podcast, Justin Sluice, has been saying how good it is. And he's put up some 4K screenshots on his website, and they look great.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for next week. Just got a pile of stuff to try and watch in the meantime so that we can get to that next week.
It's definitely worth getting to as soon as possible. It comes out as we're speaking right now. It dropped today, Tuesday. It drops today. Yeah. So people are just getting it today. Next week we get all of this, everything you said, Poltergeist, Lost Boys, Crawl. Obviously John and I have already been over this, but we also get Old Henry. Did you mention that one too?
No. What's that one?
Old Henry, Shout Factory. It's a movie from 2022. Shout Factory is putting it out. Mm. It's, got Tim Blake Nelson, Scott Hayes, Gavin Tracy. Mm. Yes. Oh, Stephen Dorff. I don't know. Looks like an older Western movie, but don't know.
Stephen Dorff, he will always be one of the daywalkers for me.
Yeah, exactly. Wonder if that's why I am looking forward to Lost Boys.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing the film. I wouldn't dare.
The soundtrack to that is what's amazing. I'm hoping that the soundtrack for that is really like bonkers. Like I remember it being in the theater. It was.
It's a Warner's disc, I imagine. It would be Warner's here normally. And they've done some great back cat releases. So hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah.
It's not Atmos, is it? It'll be a 5.1 track, I imagine.
DTS 5.1 is what it's coming out at.
Upmixed. You know, it's all Neuralex as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
So it should be good. As I said, I don't know quite why I don't know, but I'm not about to criticize that film publicly. I'm not crazy. That's like going on saying that Highlander's got issues
I love Highlander.
You know, those films where you've got it's one that I like, but I'm not a super fan. But so many people are, and you'd be crazy to go onto a public forum and say anything other than, oh, it's really good, and it's very nice, because otherwise there can be only one. I will own it. And Highlander, funnily enough, is coming out, isn't it, later in the year? It's one that I'll buy, but I like them, but I'm not champing at the bit to own them. But I have pre-ordered Lost Boys, nice. And I'm looking forward to watching it again. Yeah. I mean, Corey Feldman and Corey Haim and all that, they are very good.
It's our youths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
Poltergeist should be interesting too. And that's also a 5.1 mix. But I think the 4K on that should be interesting. You know,
it's such a good film. Such a good film. And so many stories about the background of that film and talking about a film we all grew up with. I think even if you're not a horror fan, that's a film that everybody saw, and no kid of the 80s, went to sleep with a tree outside the window the same way again after having seen that film. It was a PG. It was PG-13. How that film got to a PG-13, I will never know.
That's one of the most interesting stories about it, Steve. Mm. It is literally the first PG-13 movie over here.
Yeah, that's why, right? Wasn't it? That's why they did it, yeah.
And they were like, we can't, because we had, before Poltergeist, we had nothing. It was PG or R, right? Yeah. So you went from, all right, parental guidance, so you were guided until you were 18 years old, which I guess is okay. That makes sense. Like, let everybody choose. But it gave a little bit more. And this one came out. I was 12 when this came out. And my parents sure wouldn't let me see it. So this was that first horror movie I had a sneak and be able to see this. So I think a lot of people have that perspective. And this is one of the first horror movies that a lot of kids saw in the theaters. So it's like, because other than that, it would have been a flat R, right? So you're not going to let a 12-year-old go see an R.
No.
Not back then, because they did know the difference. There was a vast difference, I should say. They did know the difference. Now it's like, once you get to the PG-13 and then you go to R, it's like, there's only a little difference there. It's not as big a difference. So I think that's where it gets kind of its notoriety and its popularity, is it's the first for many.
Yeah, I mean, I my parents were extremely liberal when it came to watching horror films. I think that's why I'm such a horror geek now. I mean, I was watching horror films far too young. I saw Jaws when I was probably about four or five, maybe. And we were in New Zealand at that point. And I remember being on Bondi Beach in Australia, which has great whites. And I've still got scars on my nose and on my back from where I burnt, because I was not going in the water.
Yeah.
So I just sat there and burned on the beach while everybody else went in. I saw horror films from a very young age, but Poltergeist has a special place. Mm. That definitely was a movie that pushed the boundaries. I can't wait to see that again. And for me, because I don't remember seeing that in the cinema, I think it will be on the biggest screen I've ever seen it on. And then with that mix around, I mean, it should be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah,
looking forward to that.
Really?
Yeah, next week's a great week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be big, big week. One more thing on Jaws. I saw Jaws when I was younger and I just thought of it when you said it, because it was edited for television.
Okay, so Jaws was made by a sock puppet, was it? Just
so,
every time.
Well, they edit out the gore, right? So they would have, I'm guessing that's what they would have done, but the irony of Jaws. It wasn't about the gore. It was about the suspense. So you still got the horror aspect of Jaws as a little kid. I remember seeing this at home and being like, my parents let me watch it because they're like, well, it's been edited. Yeah, but it's the mental makeup. Like, oh, I got to go in the ocean. It's like, you know, so yeah, I don't know how old I was. I think they edit out a lot of what happened at the end when, what's his name, slides into the shark.
Quint flies into the mouth.
Yeah. Like, a lot of that was edited. Like, you just heard him go and then the next thing you know, he got pulled under and you're like, oh, okay.
And you wouldn't have seen the head, Ben Gardner's head, either in the boat. You wouldn't have seen that, presumably. They would have edited that out as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the reaction shot.
I'm trying to think of how I saw it, like my memory. I think he just, like, because you do see it under the water and you go, and like he got scared, like he saw something, but you didn't know what it was. So, but again, it's all like, I mean, it worked on television. So, especially for a kid who's already scared out of his mind.
Well, they used to show them in New Zealand. They would show them. My parents used to do camping quite a lot, and they would, and at each campsite, there was like a small village hall, and they would show movies in those halls on a nighttime. That's where I think I first saw Star Wars, A New Hope.
Oh.
I don't remember that, but I think I did. I remember seeing Empire in the cinema, but I don't remember seeing Star Wars. I think that's where I saw it. But I'm certain that's where I saw Jaws. Now, so I was in a, you know, off the coast of a country where great whites regularly swim. But you, of course, would have been just down the road from Amity and that's that coast and the Atlantic Ocean where it was filmed.
Yeah. And again, another conversation I just had talking about horror. And I'm like, I grew up with going to the beaches, and like there are segments that you can go to and you see, well, Martha's Vineyard where they filmed it. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're like, You want me to go in the water? That's where they filmed the damn thing, right there. I can see the island. It's right there. It's like, you know, but it was fun too. And then you'd do the trips and it was nothing. That was actually fun. Like when you, as a kid, you got your license and you take the ferry over and you just drive over the bridge, get to walk over the bridge and stuff that the shark goes under, all that fun stuff. So, I mean, I wasn't old enough when they filmed it to know what was going on down there at the time. But when I, in the 80s, definitely. Yeah, we loved all that stuff. Go to those beaches. Well,
at the time, when they were filming it, most people must have thought that they were just cranks. You know, it was a Roger Corman film. Some young guy called Steven Spielberg, never heard of him. And you know, they're just some ridiculous rubber sharks sticking out of the water and there's a little crew. And no one knew because the blockbuster hadn't been invented yet, had it? That was the film. So, even if you've been there, I'm sure everyone would. It would have been the joke of the community, wouldn't it? Look at these idiots out in the water with this blooming great rubber shark. It's ridiculous. And look, because it looks ridiculous in photos, doesn't it? It just looks stupid. So even if you'd been there, you wouldn't have known. None of us knew.
Oh, I know. Yeah, if you were there, you didn't know you were there for years later, till years later.
So some might say Spielberg didn't know. And that no one really knew what they had until it was all
Dreyfuss
together.
Said the same thing. Richard Dreyfuss said the same thing. Like, we didn't know. Like, all right, whatever. But yeah, it's and speaking of the shark look stupid, that's I said it when I reviewed that one. And when the shark's hanging up and it's like a Sharpie for eyeball. I need to rewatch that bit.
I remember you saying it and I haven't been back. And I love that film.
Yeah.
I love it, love it, love it. And I need to rewatch it. I must admit, I haven't been back since you said that.
Yeah.
Talking about very briefly about Jaws, and it would be remiss because if he listens to this and watches it, he'll wonder that Bradley Bjornstad, the guy I was saying, who's the filmmaker. He is a Jaws super fan.
Oh yeah.
And he's reviewed Jaws in 3D. They've just released it in 3D and in IMAX, haven't they? Literally this last week, just because we're up to date on it. Mm-hmm. And he reviewed the 3D, and he says the 3D on it is beautiful.
I heard that.
He says really good, and he's going to see it in IMAX next couple of days, and he's going to review that. And he can't wait to see it. But he says it might. He says lead to a resurgence in 3D. It's that good. So I'm curious now. I'm over 3D. We've talked about this before. I'd give me 4K any day of the week. But his comments on that have got me curious. And I must admit, it's out here this weekend, so I might. Have to go back and give that another go, I think.
I like 3D. I like it in my theater. I like it in, you know, I haven't been out to, it's harder to see 3D because they allocate it to like the 10:30 showing and that's it. Most of our blockbuster movies all have a 3D companion with it and it's all like, 10:30, 3D and, you know, whatever. but maybe if I could get to see it, if it comes out physical, I'll definitely buy it.
I've got 3D too on the Z9Ds, one of the last LCD TVs that had it. Well, one of the last TVs that had 3D. It's one of the reasons I bought it. Although, you know, we've had this conversation before. For me, 4K just can't be beat. And if I don't have to watch it with glasses, then, you know, I'll choose that. But seeing a film that's been lovingly and meticulously remastered for 3D by the director, and I'm told Spielberg was involved, then that's interesting. And if a super fan says it's good, because they would normally say it's rubbish. So if a super fan says it's good, then that's, that certainly, you know, had me interested. So it might be one worth seeking out.
Do you think this is a coincidence, or do you think that him and Cameron are working together? And I'm not even kidding. I know they're friends. Do you think it's like, we'll start releasing this and get the resurgence of 3D, and then... You thought Jaws looked good in 3D. Wait till you see Avatar 2. Or the 4K remastered Avatar coming out.
That's what we want.
But then Avatar 2 and...
Yeah, because I don't like HFR, you see. I don't like it, at least not the previous bit that I've seen. I've only seen one film in HFR, and that was The Desolation of Smaug. So going back to Lord of the Rings, it's all linked. Yeah. It's all linked. It's all carefully, meticulously planned.
Yeah. Drew, the Bright Side producer, let us know. This is right on script, Steve. Way to go.
Absolutely. Bang on
bringing
time.
It
bang
right
on time,
back, sir. Right back around. Yes,
so I've seen The Desolation of Smaug in HFR. I thought it looked horrible. Horrible. Just distractingly, terribly, awfully bad.
So,
and I couldn't, Just so I don't want to see anything else in HFR either.
But see, that's the thing is, now I love what you said there, because you said distractingly bad. Mm. Is it actually bad? I think it looks fantastic. But to your point, it's distracting. It's so crystal clear that it gets distracted. Do you see what I mean? Like, you can't, can't honestly say that the image looks bad. It's just the way you see a movie.
But it makes everything look fake. It makes everything look like what it is, which are sets. Right. You know, the everything looks plastic and plasterboard. And so clearly, in the case of The Hobbit, it wasn't. Much of it was CG. And yet it just looked so weird that it, and just so fake that it was distracting. It took me out of the film. Within 5 minutes, I was thinking, what am I watching? I watched the whole thing through. And it was the Desolation of Smaug, so you get the dragon stuff at the end, and it just looks so fake.
Right.
It removes I more intelligent people than me would be able to put it much more articulately, I'm sure, in terms of the it's called a Brechtian alienation device, something that is between you and the audience that gives that sense of film. So whatever it might be, in the old days they'd put a surround, you know, like the curtains around the screen to give you that sort of setup. And so I wonder whether that's what that is in this case. But the 24 frames per second just seems to just have that motion that hides the artifice of the fact that it is just sets and it's all just make believe, which HFR takes away for me. And
it does for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't see Avatar like that, because I really like Avatar. I love the first one. I can't wait to see the second one, but I don't want to see it that way.
So, see, everything you're saying is like you're right, and what it is is like. And I've said it here on the podcast before. It's like when you make something bigger, but then you shrink it down, all those little flaws go away. Well, you know, HFR makes everything bigger, because now every flaw you have in your CGI is going to be enhanced, and it's going to take you out of it. But imagine HFR done right, or say those sweeping landscape shots in Lord of the Rings, where there's no CGI. It's just a shot of the mountains and imagine the depth of that. Exactly. That imagine the depth of detail that you would get in that shot. That is what I think somebody like Spielberg, Cameron is going for. It's like, you're right. It's like, maybe HFR isn't meant for something. They were too early in their infancy. And let me back it up for you. 1970s, they're not shooting Jaws with 4K in mind. And when you watch it in 4K now, the fact that there isn't CGI and it's more, you know, it's all practical effects, but even those practical effects, that shark looks way more rubbery today than it did back in the 70s, when, to your point, there's a separation between viewer and world, right? And you know that there's a film, literally a film over the screen.
Yeah.
That's why it's called film. Separating you from that and eliminating those flaws, right? Those inherent flaws. This is all now, it's just harder for the artists, for the people shooting these. Like, you make a mistake, we're all gonna know it. And that, so it all comes together. It's like, I think 100 years from now, maybe they are shooting at that rate because they know how to do it right. And it gives you that sense of depth that we've talked about it. Maybe this is the direction you go to get passive 3D.
And yeah, if it's which done I'm correctly. Curious about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious about that. That sounds great. And if that's what he's working on, and in Cameron, we trust, because the man, whatever else he may be, he knows what he's doing. And if he is, then I'm curious about it. But HFR, as I know it, and I sound Luddite even as I'm talking about, you know, we have tech people, and here's me saying, new technology. Is nevertheless, as I've seen it, I didn't like it at all. And I haven't seen anything to change my mind. I mean, you know, Billy Lynn's Long Walk and Gemini Man as well. Just I don't own either of those. I've seen clips of it and seen exactly the same problem, and just thinking, I just, life's too short. There's too much stuff to watch to sit through those and just be like, oh, that looks fake. That looks fake. That looks fake. That looks weird. You know, so if, you know, I'm all power to Cameron, not that he cares in one second what I think about anything. Nope. But you know, if that's what he's got coming, then happy days. And I look forward to that and you know, good stuff. But, you know, the trailers look really good. So what we've seen looks great. So, you know, let's just have that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's the thing. I love it when people push the envelope, and that's, you know, and that's what you want.
Top Gun talk.
Yeah, exactly. Pushing the envelope. There
pushing
we go.
Pushing the envelope.
So, do we have anything else? Any more Onward and Upward?
I've got some little friends to say hello to.
Oh, God.
I'm a big fan of the.
No. let everybody know you're showing snakes, a handful of them. But
toys.
Yeah, just I know. Toys. But when we first connected, you had them all draped all over you when we first got on, and I was like, "Is that real?" Because I don't know if they're real. You had them all over you the other day, and I'm like, "No, not a fan." But you had asked me earlier. You're like, "Is it a phobia?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not. Like, I can handle them. I just prefer not to." Like, I've had one. We had we had a decent size. Probably about 4 or 5 feet long, and my wife ran its tail over accidentally leaving for work. Ooh. So he was stuck to the driveway, like the back end of him. So I had to pick him up and take him into the woods, and he wasn't where I left him. So I was happy for that. I hope. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just like, if I see one and I'm out, I'm like, get away from there. So not a fan.
I grew up, I wanted to be a herpetologist before I wanted to be a lawyer. And, I've loved reptiles and amphibians since I was tiny. Any chance I get to see snake, handle snakes, you know, I take it.
So you became a defense attorney.
Yeah. Well, quite different kind of snake.
I had to make the joke. Like, it was sitting right there on the tee.
Just like the snakes. I love them. I found a place in Spain that is a small shop where the guy was a snake super geek, Spanish chap. Jeez. Lovely guy. And he was like, come on in. And you know, before I knew it, he was going tank to tank, taking the snakes out. You know, Do you want to hold this one? Yeah. He had hissing cockroaches, scorpions, tarantulas, chameleons, and all this. I was just like, here it is. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, so yeah, that was fun.
We had one of my son's birthday parties, like 8 years old or something like that. We had a guy out like that. He pulls up in a van and he hosts it, puts a blanket out on the front lawn, and all the kids gather around, and he just starts he has all of these car carrier things, and he's same thing, pulling out all sorts of things. Kids sitting there with spiders on them and snakes and lizards, and I'm like, okay, I'm just videotaping it. Like,
That's it. I'm over here.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be over here. So,
oh man, but there we go.
Great. Look at that. We only went an hour over the 10-minute mark.
And I mean, nothing can stop us.
Nothing can stop us now, Steve.
Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards. Great ending. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk next week.
Will do. All the best. Cheers.
And we're back.
Whew. Whew. My throat, John. I've been talking all day. It's like,
you haven't stopped.
Oh, no. I mean, not even a joke. I'm going away this weekend. And so I had to record 2 Takeover Tuesdays last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And so Saturday I recorded with Andrew, which is coming up next on Tuesday. Sunday morning I recorded with Mark. Left there, went right up to the grill for the football game, talking with everybody up there, hanging out, watching football, you know, having a couple of adult beverages. On Monday morning, I'm at work and I'm talking like this. And I'm like, I sounded like I'd been at a concert. You know how you come home and the next day you're like, oh, you know, because you were singing along so well. I was like, why is my voice shot? And I got home from work and my voice is still breaking up. Jen's like, you haven't shut up for 3 days straight.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, okay. You got me there. All right.
You got me.
So,
how's that different than any other 3-day stretch? That's my question.
Good point. Good point. So. True. No, actually, I get when I work by myself, I just listen to an earpiece.
Well, that's
and I'm
true.
All
yeah,
by myself.
Because if you're talking a lot, then
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
People are like, why is he talking to that bumper? I don't know.
Bumper's not going to fix itself, no matter how much he yells right. at it. Oh, all right. What are we up to now? What are we getting to now? We're getting to coming soon. Coming up on Tuesday, right?
Yep.
All righty. Here we go. That was, and oh, thanks to Steve. Another great 10-minute conversation. Appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. But all right, let's get to what's coming up next Tuesday. Boom. There we go. What do we got coming up? We have, oh, first up, we have Poltergeist from 1982 in 4K. That's coming out. Steve and I just talked about that too. I'm actually really excited for this. Steve and I were thinking, we actually got into the whole idea that this was the first PG-13 movie, right?
It, oh, might be. I don't know.
No, it was. And it was.
Was it?
Yeah. That's, and it was like, wow, this is like our first foray into horror and stuff. So, especially I was 12. We were 12 when it came out. So I wasn't even allowed to see it. I had to sneak in to see it. So it's kind of a big deal. And that, like he said, it's like this should look fantastic. It's going to look and sound better than we've ever seen it before. I think I'll be disappointed if it's not. And then the next one, right along the same lines, just short 5 years later, this one I'm actually looking forward to a little bit more, The Lost Boys from 1987. Oh, yeah. The soundtrack on this, all that, what was In Excess was on there. Such good soundtrack. I can't wait to hear it. And I'm hoping, I think it's just getting DTS Master Audio 5.1, but it's still another one of those that should look and sound better than we've ever seen them before. So I'm really excited for that one. This one here, just from 2019, Crawl. You remember that one? The horror movie, the alligators in the water and stuff like that. Right. It's 4K. That one is getting an Atmos track, I'm pretty sure. So Blu-ray.com is saying TBA, but I think Steve said it is getting an Atmos track. So hopefully we'll be getting Atmos on that. And that should be really good with the storm and everything. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
I haven't even seen it.
So. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a fun home theater one. Next up, we're getting Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And that's getting a Steelbook limited edition. I believe it's might be Best Buy. I'm not 100% sure on that. Maybe not, but it is getting a Steelbook limited edition, so you might want to check it for its special features there, G. Cornell. Also, Lost
like putting
Boys
a code on a turret, right?
Yeah, Lost Boys.
Why is that getting a Steelbook? No, I mean,
yeah, like exactly.
The worst movie ever.
Lost Boys is also getting a Steelbook as well, but next is Batman the Long Halloween Deluxe Edition, John. They nicely, they sold you part one. Months later, they sold you part two. Now they want to sell you all of it together. You don't have to put in two discs. How about that? Aren't they nice?
And you'll buy it.
Yeah, I was very, I almost did on Kaleidoscape. They've had it on Kaleidoscape for like a month and a half.
Oh, really?
And it's like $40. They're literally selling you it for the price of the two other movies.
Right. Couldn't even knock it down to like $30.
Right, exactly. And it is, it's like a 3-hour animated feature.
Yeah, it's long.
It's long with
both parts.
It's good.
It was
really good. I really enjoyed it. But at a 3-hour feature to pay double for exactly what I already have, I'm going to need that break to stretch my legs anyways, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, 3-hour movie. That's like a podcast. You got to get up and stretch your legs, right? Oh, all right. And then lastly, we have Old Henry. I don't even know what this is.
I thought it was, is that a candy bar?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's an old Henri. Or maybe this is old Henri. I don't know. Looks like a Western. It's got Tim Blake Nelson, Scott Hayes, Gavin Lewis, Trace Adkins, and Stephen Dorff. So
all-star cast.
Yeah, exactly. And it's from 2021. I'd never heard of it. The cover of it, if you're on YouTube, you'll see the cover. It looks like an older Western movie or something.
Never heard of it.
So the cover actually looks very similar to Young Guns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the characters all paced out across the top, spread out across the top. So, yeah. So that's it. That's it. That's coming out on Tuesday, September 20th. So check out all of those. All right, John, what else do we got here? Now we're getting into real home theater experiences. What did we do this week? What did you do this week? You ready for that?
Sure.
All right. Projectors all powered up, ready to go. Why don't you start out? We'll save, obviously, Love and Thunder for last.
Yeah, so then really I just have two quick ones, because this was just me playing with my amp, really.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, after I got the amp hooked up, you know, Saturday afternoon, I came home from work. I put in the trusty Star Wars A New Hope disc.
On disc.
And watched Chapter 1. So this is the 4K disc, Dolby Atmos. Yep. I mean, I basically just watched the first chapter. So, you know, I went through the 20th century, the Fox music, the crawl, and then, you know... Yeah, the beginning scene on the Tantive IV there. Just wanted to hear it with the amps, and like I mentioned before, it just was cleaner. You know, I was kind of listening for the drum, listening for the things you were talking about when you put your amps in, and I think I heard them more than I normally do.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, just the, you know, you've got laser beams echoing through the through the corridors, but yeah, again, just cleaner, just better surround sound. Again, this is the best I've ever heard it. Hoping it's not just the placebo effect of plugging in my amp. Because the problem is there's no real good way to A-B this, right?
You can't, like, yeah.
I can't pull my whole system apart. It was already a hassle putting it together.
Rerunning Odyssey.
Yeah. Rerunning, well... I wouldn't have to rerun it. I would just re-download it because I didn't delete my old profiles. So I could...
Good call. Look at you, you pro. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought of that. It's like, well, if for whatever reason I want to return the amp, I could just download the old profile, but I probably would just rerun Odyssey anyways. But yeah, there's no real good way to test this side by side. So to my ears, it sounded better than I've ever heard it before, but... Again, hopefully I'm not just telling myself that because I put another $500 piece of equipment into my system, you know?
Yeah, so. I think it's like when you start hearing stuff, and I think the proof is in the pudding over time, like I've said on the podcast before. It's you can do the reason you and I do Star Wars is because we know it so well.
Right, because I've heard this a million times.
A million times. And then when you go to listen to it again, and it's like, wait a minute. There's no way it was like that before. There was a feel and there was something. And it's like, and like when I did mine, I had to call Joe down because I'm like, he's the one that was like, I don't, he's not as detailed with it as I am. And even he was like, oh no, like his eyebrows went up. So, yeah, I get it. But here's the other part. Even if it was the placebo effect, who cares?
Yeah, I'm happy.
You're happy.
I'm happy with it.
Right? So. It's like, I mean, if imagine you just like over the years, we've put this money in, you know, it's not true, but you just keep putting money in, but you just keep thinking I'm getting a better, more, you know, a better experience each time. Every step I take is better. Oh, this is so much better. I'm doing it for me.
Right.
it's like, so if I'm entertained, isn't that
the point? That's all that matters. Because honestly, my wife could care less about any of it. So I'm not doing anything to improve her experience at all. It's all for me. So
still talking about the movie.
It's all for you, Damien.
Still talking about the movie in the theater, right?
right. But yeah, it's all for me. So if I'm happy, I guess it's worth it. It's money well spent, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you added up all the money at the end of our lives, and said, you spent all this money on this, would you do anything differently? Nope. Either way, I'm where I am today at the end.
Right. It's like, exactly.
I had a good time doing it. So let's go. Right. Now, let me ask you this, though, before we get on to your next experience, which is, Jesus, talk about testing your amps. Can't wait to that one. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. I had this experience once with Jen. She's the one that noticed it. Did you feel like your picture was better? Like a noticeable improvement in your picture, which you know there is none.
Yeah, I didn't really
notice
that.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you, I was more listening than watching. Right. Like it was on and definitely I was looking at it, but I was trying to pay more attention with my ears than I was with my eyes. So I didn't notice anything specifically.
Yeah. When I went from my Onkyo to the Denon and I brought Jen down for this, right? And she's like, wow. She's like, did you get a new projector too?
Right.
And it's that is part of that placebo effect where you get a heightened sense of something and you're just, now you're noticing different sounds. And what she was really taken aback by was the stage of the orchestra across the room. Right. And, but then that got her like, now I'm looking for more things. So she's seeing details because her ear, you know, her hearing is heightened too. And right. I've had other people say that they've had that happen. So it is pretty cool that like,
right.
it all works together. Right. And it's like,
yeah. And I get, maybe if I was paying more attention to the video portion of it, but I was kind of looking like, you know, looking away a little bit. I was, like I said, more listening. I kept turning my head to see, you know, what I could hear.
It's hard to see the screen when you're looking behind
you. Yeah, I'm like looking at the speaker over here, looking at the speaker over there.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. This next one, Lydia wasn't home for this one, that's for sure.
She was not. And this
was she in the state?
Yeah.
And it's a big state, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so next up, I wanted to kind of really put it through its paces, right? So the thing that came to mind instantly was Saving Private Ryan and the opening beach scene. Again, 4K disc, Dolby Atmos, and full reference level. Like, I had this thing blasting to the point where I was, like, worried about my neighbors coming to knock on my door. And this scene ends up being a little bit longer than you think it is.
Like, 20 minutes.
I thought this was just a few minutes, and then it is. It's a good 20-minute scene.
I reviewed it last year for, was it Memorial Day weekend or something like that? I reviewed just that opening scene.
Right, and it is a good 20 mm-hmm. full minutes, and it's just bonkers. Like, I don't even know how else to explain it. Like, I kind of wanted to take cover, you know?
Yeah.
This one I did watch, you know, I did pay more attention to the screen. I actually watched the scene. I wrote a comment because what you sent me last week, but I almost got Shawshanked by this. Like,
right.
I almost just kept going. I had to consciously turn it off because I had some other stuff I wanted to watch, because I could have been 2 hours later still watching Private Ryan. This was just, it was just unbelievable. I never heard it sound better. Bullets fly. Everybody knows the scene, so I don't have to really explain it, but you know, my whole house is shaking every time, you know, the mines go off or whatever they are, and there's bullets everywhere. Even the, you know, when they're kind of shooting underwater and you can hear that, like the psst underwater.
Yeah, a weird noise, that underwater noise. It's hard to
make. The underwater bullet noise.
Yeah, the underwater bullet noise that you can't replicate without water.
But yeah, it was just phenomenal. Like, super clean. Super distinct. Again, this is where the surrounds were really working. Mm-hmm. I could hear everything, you know, like I said, mines, bullets, people screaming in the back channel, you know, just crazy. Definitely reference material on that scene. So,
that's a tough one to, that's a test. And it's, that's a great one. It's an incredible, and it's like you said, you think you're like, oh, I'm going to watch this scene. 20 right. minutes later.
You're yeah, like, it was long.
It's still going. And you're like, yeah. and it's a difficult watch too. When I
it is.
When
it,
I watched it, it, I was like, and I reviewed it. It was very difficult to watch because when you start to break it down, you're like, this is awesome. But you're like, it's so real because yeah. it was real. And you're like, it's like, you know, but it is an amazing home theater test.
It is. It's such a good experience, you know, a home theater experience, you know, because it was like, okay, do I pull out Dune and pull out a few?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I know those scenes as well. So I wouldn't right. have heard the differences. Even Saving Private Ryan, like I haven't watched that as many times as I've watched Star Wars. But I mean, I've seen it
what
a
have
bunch
you?
Of times. Yeah, that's true. You know, I've seen it multiple times. So I wanted to pick something that, number one, would give it a workout, but two, that I was fairly familiar with. So, because yeah. I thought about Dune, I thought about like Interstellar, but like these are movies I've seen once or twice.
Yeah.
And there would have been some good demo scenes, but I wouldn't have heard the
difference.
Like I said, really heard the differences. So, and again, I feel like maybe placebo effect once again, but I mean, I feel like it was better than I've ever heard it.
Yeah.
And I watched this movie not that long ago. Like, this is one of the first ones I watched. This is one of the first 4K discs I bought mm-hmm. when I started setting up this system here at this house. And so I watched it, you know, within the last 2 years or so. Mm. And, you know, again, don't remember it sounding as good as it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
This weekend. So
it's great. It's great. So much fun. And that's the fun part, too, also about getting new gear. It
right.
it freshens your catalog. Like,
yeah.
you know, you get a new display like Mike Schramm did, and then a new center channel like Mike Schramm did. It's like,
right.
and you're getting this. I did my stuff. And it's like you get new stuff, and it freshens everything up, and it just gives you another reason to sit down there and start bouncing around, watching different movies and checking out all different
This is where scenes. I really wished I had the Kaleidoscape, though. Because, again, trying to find several scenes on discs and mm-hmm. getting up, swapping out the discs and doing all that stuff. It's like,
yeah.
you know, having that playlist available on Kaleidoscape would have been, I would have done several more scenes probably.
Yeah.
If it was easier to do that. But
yeah. And it's funny, too, because I haven't even made that playlist. I have a few scenes of a playlist that I made, but I haven't even used that. Like when I right. do something, I'm like, it's so easy to bounce out and go to the next movie. So right. that's what I do. And the playlist is nice. And that's more like I can have that playlist. And if you have a Kaleidoscape, I can go to your house and we can watch those same lit without having right. to bounce. Or I can just send you my playlist and you have the right. same movies. But yeah, I was just talking with Todd today, Todd Anderson, about it and saying like, I watch way more movies now because I can bounce out of a movie, go watch something else. Now, this is all stuff I've watched in the past, you know, and I'll be watching something. I'll see a character in the movie and I'll know the actor and be like, oh, I remember them, and boom, bounce out and go to such and such. And you right. just do it. And it's so simple. Whereas if I had to get up and change my disc, it's like, nah, you know, all right, I'll just stay on this movie. So now I'm just bouncing around, and now, I'll spend 3 hours watching three different movies, and then the next day right. do the same thing. So, but that's how my mind works. That's why it works for me. I love that. And
yeah.
But all right, let's get to, let's see, what do I have this week? Let's start with, this one I was actually supposed to mention last week, but I forgot to bring it up, and I don't know why, but Jen and I sat down, and you don't even like this movie.
I don't like this movie.
Really? So it's another Baz Luhrmann, is that how you say his name?
Something Baz Luhrmann, yeah.
Baz Luhrmann. Moulin Rouge.
Right.
So it's just regular HD, DTS 5.1, watch it on the Kaleidoscape. It's amazing. And Elvis just came out today as we're speaking now. So this week, Elvis right. comes out. But we watched this last week. We had, I think it was, we watched it on Monday of last week when she was off. We were for Labor Day. And we watched it together. She loves this movie. I love this movie. And, I mean, just watching Obi-Wan sing. You might not like the movie, but, man, can that guy sing.
I like his version of your song, though.
Oh, my God. I've been singing it since I watched it. Not
have
not
you?
As good as him. But, yeah, you just walk right. around. Nobody's in the house. And you'll be like, you just start. I won't do it here because if I do, I'll just be. Nah. But yeah, this is another one that's like similar to Elvis. Only Elvis is in 4K with Atmos, but the colors, the everything is popping, and they're singing, and it's so dynamic. It was just so much fun beginning to end just watching this movie. It is one of the.
Maybe I'll have to revisit it one of these days and see if I have a different feeling about it.
When was the last time you watched it?
I think I've only watched it once and probably.
Was it on an iPad?
Whenever it came out. Like, yeah, it was on my iPad. No, way back when it first came out. And
try it on your
like
new system.
HBO or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whatever it streamed. It wasn't even streaming then, right? How old is this movie? It's.
It's pretty old. It's pretty old. I had a poster of it when I built the theater in 01.
Okay, yeah. So I probably just watched it on HBO, on like DirecTV. You know what I mean?
I want to say it came out in 01.
Okay.
Because he had already played...
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. It came out in 2001. Yeah.
01, okay.
So he had already played Obi-Wan. And when I built my theater at the end of 01, it had already been out. We loved the movie. I have it on Laserdisc, and I put in three posters that I spent a lot of money on, just the right glass, just the right poster, just the framed. I had them all professionally framed, and I did Star Wars, Spider-Man, The Crow, and then I did Moulin Rouge for Jen. So that, and because she loved the movie, I loved the movie. I think it's a great home theater experience. So I wanted that. Those were the four main posters in my room, and it is, and it holds up. Today, it's in, you know, just in HD. I know I didn't see an HD back then, and I haven't honestly. I haven't seen this one in a while, but I definitely recommend revisiting it if you can. Maybe in on disc, but it's so dynamic in every sense of the word. So, yeah. All right. Next up, I watched another Michael Mann movie, not as dynamic. Collateral.
Yeah.
It was good. The movie's great, but maybe it's a tough week for me to watch Collateral.
Too much other good stuff.
That's what I was gonna. How else do I say it? Like, Collateral's a different kind of movie, and what I would say is it's like comparing Heat to Ambulance.
Right.
And it's like Ambulance is like Thor, Love, and Thunder. And Heat is just like Collateral.
Right.
It's like, but it's a different, it's a more cerebral movie. But there was a lot of grain. It was on Kaleidoscape. It was 4K HDR, but it was just DTS 5.1. There were some really nice crisp scenes, but then there was some grain in there that just seemed a little bit like, ooh, a little too much. Like, it got too grainy at times. But the opening scene, especially like I put in my notes, opening scene was heavy grain, like literally like the first thing you see, you're like, uh-oh. But then it smoothed out as they're going through the airport and stuff. So that was kind of nice to see. But then you go into the garage to meet, what's his name? Jamie Foxx. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
You go into the garage to meet him, and the garage sounds in there. It's like everything's going around all around you. And it's you can hear all garage noises, drills, blah, blah, blah. It really, really nice effect. The score, really nice throughout the movie. And this has a really nice score to it. I mean, Michael Mann, it's just really good. At 35:30, there were some really nice gunshots. It was more about the ringing of them, because I didn't find these gunshots through this movie to be like, again, it's a tough week because we've got so much dynamic content. And then you go to this and you're like, eh. And I really was like, I was going to do the next Mission Impossible movie. I actually had it on my list, but I got to the opening of it, and then that was it. But I was like, I haven't seen Collateral in a while. So I figured I'd take it in, and it was kind of tough. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it, but it's just not the home theater experience the other ones were. At 46 minutes, it was a gun with a suppressor, and that sounded really cool, but that was kind of like That was it. That was about
that
the
was
big.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay, that sounded a little different. But again, this is about the sights and sounds and scenes. And this one here is more about the movie itself. And it's kind of, this one I sat in one sitting, watched the movie because it is that good. Like you get Shawshanked into it, right? And you're like, all right, I just want to finish this out because it is that good. But as far as home theater goes, I wouldn't say that this was one that I was going to be like, all right, you know, everybody run out and get this for your home theater experience. But I think everybody should own it just because it's that good. All right. Next up, True Lies on Hulu. And wow, it looked fantastic.
Did it? I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Oh. It looks fantastic. It sounds like crap.
Does it?
Oh, yeah. The sound in this podcast is more dynamic than this movie was. There were like some gunshots and you're like, the hell happened there? Some of the explosions and just, I mean, dialogue was clear. So G. Cornell shouldn't have an issue with that. everything was fine, but it really needs to be, I mean, it was just bad. It was, you know, it's a 5.1 PCM and you're just like, okay. But I kept checking my system because of the Lumigen tells me I'm getting 4K, but I'm not, but right. It's just HD from everything I've seen, but it looks fantastic. It's like, there were some scenes that looked a little soft, but it's streaming on Hulu for God's sakes. Right.
Right.
And it has never, ever looked this good. I can honestly say that. I mean, I know it never looked this good because I've had the DVD and you can't put a DVD on a 110-inch screen and have it look this right. good. I've never seen it at 110 inches.
I say, is it not, it's not on Kaleidoscape?
Nope.
No.
It's not out anywhere. It's not out on Blu-ray. It's not out. It's
just DVD.
Just DVD. So Hulu has it in HD with a 5.1 PCM mix. Right. Crank it up. I boosted my bass by 5 and then boosted my sound by another 5 and it gave it a little bit more of a feel, which was a little nicer, but it's still like, you're just like, okay, we just need this. But it did, it looked fantastic. The dark scenes that, you know, like, you know, the movie and some of those darker scenes and the tuxedo in the opening scenes and stuff at nighttime and the detail that you could see so much more than I ever remember. And it was really good. And then, you know, the hotel scene when she does her little dance thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it looked
just
good.
That little scene.
Just a little good. A little good. So I didn't want to give a time stamp on that or anything. Cause, you know, I think everybody knows where it is. It's really, really good. And that was a lot of fun to go through. So check that out. Hulu, True Lies. That's the best we're going to get for now. Right. And then, lastly, because, where did it go? Where did I put it? There it is. Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
Went through that. That one I took a few days. I do like, it's like a 3-hour version, the extended version. Right. And I can't recommend it enough right now. Yeah. And I know it's an older movie, but with Rings of Power, it was so interesting because... You know me, I had trouble with Jamie Foxx's name 2 minutes ago.
Right.
Right. And I love Jamie Foxx. How did I forget Jamie Foxx? I'm like, Jamie, what is it? I'm learning so much stuff for Rings of Power, like characters' names, other things. The entire idea of like Aragorn and his lineage. Right. And it's like hearing it spelled out in the extended version, just in little, at the time, it was like a throwaway conversation.
Right.
And now you're listening to this, plus looking at this thing with the Lumigen in an entirely different light, pun not intended, intended, whatever you want to say. But like, in the extended version, when they go into that elf where they meet, Gwendolyn? She's in Rings of Power.
Galadriel.
Yeah. When you meet her in the movie and you go to that elven village or whatever it is, and right. It's dark and it's up the tree or whatever, and it's just the detail in there It's in the bright lights and the hue that they put over the screen is gorgeous. Everything.
Yeah. I haven't watched them since I got the projector, but, you know, we watched them when the box set came out. It was a year ago or so.
Yeah.
We sat down and watched all six movies over a couple of weeks. And they were beautiful on the, you know, on the Sony TV. So I can't wait to watch them again, honestly. But yeah, it's connecting the dots between
it really is.
The old stuff. Well, like because in this week's episode of Rings of Power, I don't know if you watched it yet.
Yeah,
assuming you did, but you know, we met Isildur, and
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's pretty important.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that. And so, yeah. Seeing those places. Well, and again, going back to locales that haven't been destroyed yet, you know, in Rings of Power, but yet, you know, they're ruins. And by the time you get to Fellowship, which is pretty cool, you know.
Yes, it is.
To see those things.
It really is. And what I love about it is it seems like it's so much like matter of fact. Like when you're watching it in both instances, like all the characters you're talking about in all the instances, they're not pointing them out to you. It's just in conversation. And I had to like back up in both instances. I'm like, that is what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about there. And it just made it so much more interesting. And I'm going to try to do, hopefully I can, I'm going to try to do Two Towers this week. Like I said, I'm away a lot this weekend, so that's going to cut into some time, but I just can't. I mean, you can do the same thing with your player. If it's just that one movie, drop the movie into your player, hit pause, come away. And then when you turn it back on, it'll be like, do you want to resume? Yep.
Yeah.
And you just go right back to it. But that's what I was doing. And with a 3-hour movie, it kind of really made it like it's its own series now, you know. You get three episodes. I just did
every
three
Friday
episodes.
I'm gonna watch a third.
So the other thing was on the one hand, yes, Fellowship looks so much, it looks better than the Amazon, but at the same time, once you get into it, and I mean Rings of Power, that is, you really do feel like you're watching a disc because it's shot the same way. So it puts you in that world and makes you feel like you're watching, even though it's like if there's no way to A, B a scene because they're two different movies. But at the same time, you could see when you go from one to the other, like especially when I went from Rings of Power over to Fellowship, I really felt like as it wore on, you're like, wow, this is really crystal clear.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you're like, all right, I could see a little bit. It feels like there's like a slight film over it. Like, but it's so slight. But once you're into the movie or show or series, whatever you want to call it, it is just, they do look very, very similar. Great dynamics in both.
Well, and it's so like, you know, again, going back to the show, this week's episode, you know, we see Numenor. And I mean, it was like cinematic. Like it was so big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a TV show, you know, like we all know how much money they spent on this show. It's no secret that they spent probably more than Peter Jackson had for the movies. But I mean, you can see the dollars like this.
Yeah.
It was it was huge, you know. And again, I know it's a lot of CG. Like it's not, they didn't build Numenor.
No.
But it looked huge. Like it just looked grand, like a movie.
Yeah,
you know,
and Steve George and I said the same thing. Steve was saying the same thing. It's like it just, and I said it to Steve too. Is that a lot of those dollars went in getting the rights? So
well, they
when
did
you have
right.
that billion dollars,
$250 million was just to get the rights to make the show
to spend more money,
right?
So a lot of it is that, but yes, they are putting a lot of dollars into this, and it is. Like I said to Steve, it's like, this is a big cinematic production. They're giving you that cinematic production in your home. We can only hope that we'd someday get a physical release of it. But I have no problem if they don't, because I think it looks fantastic. And again,
it sounds fantastic. I mean, it looks great and it sounds great. You
yes,
know?
It does. It has some of the most dynamic sound of any streaming. I mean,
Right.
The other ones did too. You know, like Tomorrow War did. Some of the Netflix stuff. We said it about Stranger Things.
Yeah, Stranger Things was phenomenal. Spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, phenomenal quality. Yeah, like you said, Tomorrow War is reference material. You know? Six Underground, at least the beginning,
is
reference material. You know? So, I mean, it...
But
maybe if we had a disc of Six Underground to compare it to, then...
It
would not be the same. But being that that's the only way you get it, it's reference quality. Like, it's really, really good.
It's really good. So. But here's where I think it's an interesting distinction and why I feel like Rings of Power gets a leg up. All those other things we mentioned, especially where this kind of the bell went off in my head, is when we mentioned Stranger Things. Stranger Things, we're on what, season 4 or 5 right now? Whatever it is, right?
4.
So, I believe. Right. So we had other seasons that they were good, but they weren't as good as this latest season, right? But they're also a Netflix series that in our head, since conception, it was a Netflix series. Rings of Power was a phenomenal movie experience. Then they did the 4K restoration of all three movies that made you like, that we all raved about and are still raving about. And now this comes out and looks almost just as good as that. So that's where we don't have a direct correlation, a direct physical version of Rings of Power, but what we have is the reference of what it's based on,
right?
And it feels exactly the same. So you see what I mean? Like, it kind of elevates it a little because you're like, no, this is the cinematic version, where even Six Underground, well, that's just a Netflix production, you know?
And
and I don't mean to sound like Scorsese, but do you see what I mean? Like, Rings of Power is elevated. It's kind of Scorsese-ish. And the other ones are just like, that's streaming caca. You know, whatever, the old man on my lawn thing. And I think it's because of the source material. And that's what's helping it. So it is so good. So that's why you're only... Everything we're saying is only strengthened when you go back and watch Fellowship of the Ring and start back in, because you're just like, wow, it is good. And so, all right, that's the last one that I have. Other than that, we're gonna get to Thor Love and Thunder on why isn't that coming up? Oh, that's why. Thor Love and Thunder on Disney Plus and Thor Love and Thunder on Kaleidoscape. We'll get into those big differences. So let's get to that right now.
Okay.
All right. Let's start off flat out. What did you think of the home theater experience for you?
I thought it was great. I obviously watched it on Disney Plus. I don't have Kaleidoscape or
the disc media, which is due out in a few days.
Yeah.
A couple weeks, I think.
Right. I thought it was really good. Now, again, we can go back to, I mentioned earlier that this wasn't my favorite Marvel movie. Like, I have some problems with the movie itself.
Right.
But none of that plays into the home theater experience. You know, obviously the advantage to Disney Plus is the IMAX enhanced aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that the quality level was still far superior on Kaleidoscape, but I don't have that, so I can only go by what I was able to watch, and I thought it was pretty good. Like, I have some scenes that we can go through later, but I mean, overall, I thought the bass was pretty punchy. You know, I thought it sounded good. I thought it looked great, very vibrant. The IMAX, it's not IMAX enhanced 100%. It goes in and out.
Variable aspect ratio.
Yeah, it's variable. It goes in and out, but I felt like every time they used it, it was where it needed to be used. And almost every time they used it is a scene that I noted, because, you know, it's an important scene where they kind of cranked everything up. So I think every scene I have on here is an IMAX enhanced scene.
Right.
You know?
And we'll go spoiler-free, because we could talk about the scene spoiler-free. I mean, you know there's going to be battles. You know there's going to be stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I won't go into a lot of... I didn't put a lot of detail on any of them.
So. And I had pretty much all that you see in the notes. I've added a couple, and that was it. But I had all the same ones. Yeah. So when we get to that part, there was one notable scene that wasn't IMAX enhanced, and I was actually pretty surprised at that. and that in the notes, we'll get to it in the notes.
Okay.
I think you know the scene. You'll know.
I think I know what you're talking about too, because I remember thinking the same thing. It's like, this should be IMAX enhanced here.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't.
So, yeah, you're right, though.
I think it was when they went to the Shadow Realm, right?
Nope. Earlier.
Okay.
Earlier. It was very early on. But it's a great scene. And we'll get to that when we get there. As far as, like, picture, sound, all of that, the differences between what you're going to see on the disc and what is streaming, I would say on picture... Probably a 2-3% upgrade. There's a slight film. Steve and I talked about it, and I actually, from the time I recorded with him to now, I had an opportunity to go back and look, and I'm not sure I can see what he's talking about on the kaleidoscope, but he was saying that it felt like there was like a haze. And he thought it was a style, so I'll be interested to see what he thinks when he gets the disc, because I feel like I knew what he was talking about. I went back and looked for it in some of the close-ups. Like, he said that pores weren't really showing, but, like, the detail wasn't there. And then when I went back and looked, I saw the detail, but maybe I'm not looking exactly for what he was looking for. Because what I said when he said it is, I think what's happening is in the stream, it's like, it's being compressed, and there's so much vibrancy. There's so much. It's so dynamic that they have to chop something off, and maybe it's a little bit of detail is being crushed there that you're not getting. Right. So, but yes. So, like, with the sound off, and you went from scene to scene, and you went back and forth, and you'd be like, "They're both. It's super vibrant." Again, I can't really argue with the picture. It's gorgeous in both situations. But I think when you get the disc, you're going to be like, other than that, you lose the IMAX portion of it.
Right.
The clarity, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a little bit clearer. The clarity is there, a little bit more vibrant, too. I have some scenes that we'll talk about when we get there. But but the sound, it's not even close. And what's funny is this is a really good stream.
I felt like it sounded pretty good. Like I said, the bass was pretty punchy.
Yeah,
you know, there's good use of Atmos throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack is phenomenal throughout.
There's some good bass with feel where it's not like you're not even hearing it. I made note in one of the scenes that we'll talk about that it's just more of a rumble to tell you you're coming up on an ominous situation. And when I went back, now obviously I felt it and really enjoyed it on the kaleidoscape. And then I went back and watched it on Disney Plus, and I'm like, I was expecting far less, and it was less, and it was noticeable. But there was a nice little rumble there that I was honestly not expecting. And what was funny, I was like, that was pretty good. And then I went back to the kaleidoscape, and I was like, burr! I was like, oh, okay, never mind. So again, just enjoying it on Disney Plus. I mean, it is really good. But when you get this disc, the sound in it is, especially for Thor, I was very nervous because of Ragnarok.
Right.
I think we all were, right? And but this one has it. It's got the bass. It's really, really nice. I want to say, if you haven't seen the movie, you don't know, but the way the movie starts out, I almost felt like I was like, oh, here we go with Ragnarok. But then it kind of ramped up. Did you get that feel at all? Like, I didn't feel a lot of bass right away, but then it ramped up and I was like, oh my God, that just hit me.
Well, I guess by the time we get to the 10 and a half minute mark where I have my first scene,
it
started to kick in, you know. But yeah, I don't even remember. But I feel like before that, it was just Korg talking, right? So there wasn't really...
Yeah. Hello? There he is.
Hey, Lou.
Hello.
Yeah, I guess I was like, man, I guess he just really doesn't like what I have to say because he's not responding at all.
No, yeah. No, you froze.
Yeah. Well, you froze. I looked up and it's like, okay, he's not moving. So I guess he's frozen. Because, like, on my side, I still see myself moving and, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I was like, going. I guess he doesn't like anything I'm saying right now.
Yeah. Last thing I heard was you said Korg.
Okay. You want me to just pick up?
Yeah, so you could just pick back up where you're talking about, like, okay. It was mostly
yeah, Korg. So I guess before the 10-minute mark or so, it was really just Korg kind of narrating, that's tough to say, you know, like the beginning of the movie. So I don't feel like there was a lot of call necessarily for Atmos or surround or bass or anything like that. So I didn't feel like I was missing anything at that point.
Right.
You know, and like the first scene where it kind of felt like it should have it, I thought it did a pretty good job. So,
yeah.
But so, I guess to jump into that, let's jump into this scene, though, because actually at 10 minutes, 40 seconds, this when the first IMAX scene kicks in. That's the battle scene at the very, you know, the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, the Guns N' Roses soundtrack kicks in. There was some really good bass there, but I guess I didn't necessarily feel any other, I didn't feel Atmos or anything in that scene very much. It was more the sound of the song than anything else. So
yes, it was a music video, really.
Right?
There was some and that's where I think maybe on the physical release we'll get a little bit more of the hammer flying around. Spoilers: the hammers fly. Axes, hammers, whatever. But we'll use hammer for everything. You get that flying around. And it just felt like there was a little bit wider of a stage. if that's a better way of putting it. But the bass, it's so funny because we all, especially with this one, because of Ragnarok, we're so conscious of like, I just want to have bass. But you're right.
Right.
It's like in this scene here, it was like, you know, you had the gut. Which song was it? This wasn't Paradise City, was it? That came up after.
I don't even remember now. Welcome to the Jungle?
Yes, I do think
it was Welcome to the Jungle. Yeah.
And it was just, because at the end of the song where he's like, huh, they actually, they took that out because the huh was amplified by his landing, which had really nice bass to it.
Yeah.
So you've got all of that stuff going on. There was a lot to the scene. It's a funny scene too, because of what happens
it is.
And everything.
Right.
But yeah, with the Guns N' Roses playing, I felt it was really good. The scene after it that I noted after this one,
this is the one you were talking about that's not IMAX enhanced.
Correct.
Because now that I see it here, I remember thinking the same thing. It's like, this is the big debut, and like, why are we not in IMAX enhanced here?
Right. You know? So, and it's a battle scene. It's a nighttime battle scene in a village type thing. It's at 29 minutes, 45 seconds. It's literally chapter 10 when you get to your disc. I gave it a box of popcorn. And what was nice for me is going from the Kaleidoscape to Disney Plus is they're both in 241. There you go. This maybe could have pushed it a notch higher if it was IMAX enhanced on the Disney Plus side, but it wasn't.
Right.
But it was... This is where the bass really does kick in because you have, I mean, one, the hammers are flying and there's a lot of sound. Like there's one scene where a hammer circles the room a couple of times. Spoiler free. I won't tell you what it is or anything like that, but it's Thor's and hammers and it's circling the room and it really, really cool. And you're following a character's face who's supposed to be watching it, and it's going exactly where he's moving it. And it was, I felt like it was a little bit more discreet on the Kaleidoscape, but it was still, you could tell exactly what was going on the Disney Plus. It was really good. And the same with the HDR. It was because it's a nighttime scene, and there was a shot of Christian Bale's character, what's his name?
And Gore.
And he has the yellow eyes.
Right.
And they kind of like zooming in on him. And the vibrancy in those eyes is just so good. And then, like I said, and on a Kaleidoscape, it just seemed like there was a little bit more depth. So you'll be getting that in, at the time of you hear this, it'll be the following Tuesday. It's coming out. Right. Not next Tuesday, the one after it.
Oh, okay.
It really, really good. And again, a lot of detail in the background and stuff that you can see because of the HDR. Both versions look really, really nice. But that's why I gave it a box of popcorn. It looks so good. So good. And you had this one here. This was another
The next one here is at 50 minutes. This is just eye candy, really. But this goes into IMAX enhanced, and it's kind of the wide shot of Omnipotent City. And it was just so vibrant. I mean, it just looked phenomenal. Again, even on Disney Plus, I'm sure it was just that couple of percent better on Kaleidoscape, but it looked awesome. So colorful, so vibrant.
I'm gonna be honest with you, when you get this on disc, you're gonna have trouble seeing the difference because it's so bright that I think the colors are a little richer, but the time it takes you to go back and forth and
you don't even notice
the IMAX enhanced on Disney Plus. This is one of those where you're like, this is the way you should see this city. Right. But it does. It looks fantastic. And
it was just really awesome.
The detail, a little bit more detail, like you said, on a Kaleidoscape. But, and what's funny is when you go to the IMAX Enhanced, you're actually just gaining that top and bottom, right? So when you look at, you can actually compare what you're exactly seeing on both because you're getting the same thing there. You're just getting some extra at the top and bottom. So the main characters and stuff, and that's what I'm judging by for clarity and everything. But it is, Omnipotent, you're just like, it's so bright. It's ridiculously bright.
A lot of gold, a lot of.
Yeah. But see, here's, to me, the difference was like that gold was just richer when you looked at it, when you're going to see it on disc. It's going to be I don't want to say it's washed out on Disney Plus, because it's really not. You're going to, if you went, I know what I saw and I know what you guys are seeing. You're going to be like, there's nothing washed out there. It's just a little bit richer in what you're going to get on the disc. So really, really cool. And this next one,
104. This is the battle in Omnipotent City.
Yeah.
Again, spoiler free, so we won't go into any more detail than that. But yeah, I just felt like the base here, you know, there's lots of kind of so-called superhero landings and, you know, different things happening. And there's just, I felt like there was a lot of punch.
Things flying around the room.
Yeah.
Really cool leading up to this. Just another great use of the entire room. But yeah, another great base scene. At 1 hour, 14 minutes, 25 seconds. This is the one where I have a tough time with it, spoiler free, but it's a transition. Let's call it that. Is that the best way to say it? The transition in the movie where you're moving from one realm to another. And this is the one where you get some underlying base to let you know that you're going into something else. And I had written, like, if you add any question that this movie has any kind of base, this answers the question, because it is very deep. It is very, it's like tactile. And in both instances, Disney Plus and the Kaleidoscape, very, very good. Just more of it when you get to that physical disc on the Kaleidoscape. It's just a bigger rumble that it's going to radiate even longer. So to give you an idea, on Disney Plus, you'd get that up through your seat and that'd be it. And then like on Kaleidoscape, it was like, and it like faded. It took a lot longer to fade out and you were like, oh, wow. And then of course they crash into something and you get a little bit more bass there, but it was like really, really good. Really a lot of depth there in both instances. A lot of fun with that scene. A lot of fun. Next up. Oh, this one here. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I have it 1 hour, 21 minutes rather. Again, IMAX enhanced. I called it Call the Axe.
Yeah.
This is, the black and white scene. They're in the shadow realm. But to me it's the pops of color.
Yeah,
the
vibrancy,
The vibrancy of the color in this black and white, because it looked great black and white. Like, the black and white stuff looked really good. A lot of contrast, looked good. But, like, every time they, like, would hold up the hammer or something, like, it would reflect the light. It reflected the color back onto the character, or, the lightning. And wherever the lightning flashed, it lit up color around it. And it just looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the color was super vibrant because it was the black and white backdrop, but just the use of it was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, just, the way it would, they sprinkled it in. I thought it was a fantastic scene. Again, great base here because it is a fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a lot, again, like we've said, There's hammers flying, there's axes flying, Call the Axe, if you can probably guess what's happening without giving away too many spoilers. But again, just another awesome scene.
Yeah. And again, on what's going to be on the physical, it's just a little bit richer of a color, a little bit more vibrant, a little more depth to that color. Kind of like what I found it felt like to me I just said about the base, like going out, I felt like those reflections you were talking about, those hues, they permeated a little further. It felt like, there was one where the hammer had some glow to it, and it's like, and even in the little cracks on it, and you got, oh wow. It's like, you know, that blue, it kind of really popped there. And it that's what I really noticed when I flipped back and forth. And on the Kaleidoscape, I was like, oh wow, that really, it looked like that blue was even richer than what I was seeing on Disney Plus.
Right.
This one, 2850.
Yeah, 128.50. And I think this kind of goes into your last one, too, because I couldn't remember the name of the song until I just saw that you wrote it down. Because I was like, what's the name of this song? I know it was Guns N' Roses. But yeah, this is mild spoiler here, I guess. But again, I called it The Entrance to Eternity. This is kind of the final battle of the movie. Yeah. You know, you get the gun, you need the November Rain is the song that's playing.
Right.
And
but did you notice, spoiler free, don't give away what they're saying, but they only use a portion of the song.
Right.
But it's the portion that plays, listen to the lyrics that they're allowing through and they're repeating through this scene. And it's really powerful to the scene itself. So like, if you haven't seen the movie, when you get there, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you've seen the movie, go back and listen to those exact lyrics and what,
which I'll have to do because I can't think of what they were.
Okay, but. So I'll tell you afterwards. But it's very powerful for what's going on in the movie. Plus, that song, the way it plays,
just the beat of it was awesome.
It gets you fired up, right? I remember when I saw it in the theater driving home. I pulled it up. I'm like, hey, S Lady, play November Rain. And I listen to it, and it's a good 11-minute song or whatever. So I'm like,
yeah, so it gets you all the way home.
Yeah, it gets me all the way home. But it sounds so much better in the theater. And it was and during this battle scene, which, of course, has stuff flying around. And
yeah, like this was
landings and crashes and booms.
This was like all the culmination of all the surround sound, the bass. Because this is, again, it's the final battle. So there's stuff happening everywhere. Again, without giving any spoilers, like he conscripts a little army to himself to, to help in the battle, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great use of the lightning and all of that throughout that whole
and the lore
scene. Yeah.
So
it was very cool.
Yeah.
And really great bass.
His little wink when he had his eyes closed and he goes and opens one eye and goes, for a limited time only.
Right.
It's so good. And that's, if you haven't seen the movie, you don't know what the heck we're talking about. That's not a spoiler.
No. And like I said, and I don't want to spoil anything.
It's so good.
So,
yeah. It's, and again, like you said before, it's like it has its flaws as far as MCU movies go. But I've now seen it. I watched it in IMAX. I watched it, or IMAX enhanced. I watched it regular, completely, and bounced back and forth. And like I said, even that November Rain lyric that I picked up while I was trying to review for the scene and bounce, and I was like, "Oh my God!" You realize what's going on there, and then that lyric hit me, and I was like, "Wow, that made." And it, to me, that's the stuff that it makes it even a better movie. Because then and there's some decent meaning to this movie as well that we don't get into. But
I enjoyed it more this time around because I had my initial disappointment when I saw it in the theaters. It didn't live up to what hoped it would be, right? But I went into this viewing already having that. Like, I wasn't let down because I already knew what to expect.
Right.
So I went into it with a different perspective. And I just had fun. It's goofy. It's jokey. Those are the things I had problems with initially.
Right.
But this time around, I had no expectations, no bubble to burst. So I just kind of took it for what it was. And it was a lot of fun. It is a fun movie. And it was fun in the theaters too. But, I had a certain expectation the first time around that wasn't there this time. And it allowed me to enjoy the movie a little bit more because I just took it for what it was and, had fun with it. So,
again, as far as a home theater experience goes, I think it's fantastic. It totally redeemed from Ragnarok. If we could get Ragnarok produced the way on disc, the way this one is, we'd be very happy.
Right.
Because Ragnarok, very similar. We got the image, the picture looks great in Ragnarok. We just need to have that dynamic soundtrack as well.
But you said it was better on Kaleidoscape, right?
Slightly, not as good,
but
as
not
this.
Still not
as good
as
this.
Good.
And that's a good point. That's another thing. Like we always say, like the Disney Plus discs are 66 gigabyte. Let me look quickly here at what this download was on Kaleidoscape. Let me see. Let's see. The download on this is 63. So it should be
pretty much the same.
Should be relatively the same, but I have had issues in the past where it's slightly a downtick to the disc just because, and I had mentioned it on the podcast before, I can't remember what movie it was, where I was like, maybe they just use the same algorithm because, like, if you put, you know what I mean, to compress everything so that everything's consistent. But the downtick in sound from, there's no way, I know the disc isn't going to sound like what we got on Disney Plus. So, there's no way. But yeah, so it's so much fun. It's such a great experience. And, like you said, and every time I watch it, I find, like I said, like that November Rain thing. And, oh, by the way, that scene, I gave 3 boxes of popcorn because of that.
Yes.
'Cause it is a great ending battle. Great bass, great picture. 'Cause it's a darker scene. So then you have, you know, bright
lots of color. Yeah, lots
colors
of stuff popping in.
And
yeah,
lots of characters. We won't give it away. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of battle. Lots of great things. So definitely check that out. Started at 128.50, and then November Rain actually comes in at around 132. So, but it's a great movie. Great, lots of fun. So,
yeah.
All right, is that it for Love and Thunder?
Yeah.
Alrighty. All right. That's it for this week.
That is.
Is that it? That all you got?
That's it. I mean, again, I watched a couple other things that don't bear mentioning necessarily, but I watched all of Cobra Kai season 5.
Feel free, John. Well, a little bit of Bright Side extra here.
Well, so two things I watched. I watched We Crashed on Apple TV, which actually wasn't bad because, again, Dolby Atmos, Dolby Vision. It had some good stuff, but it wasn't necessarily noteworthy, but very interesting watch. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, I despise both of those people now.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it. What is it?
It's the story of WeWork. Jared Leto and Anne Hathaway star. But they are the founders of WeWork. And it was the story of their rise and obviously their crash through that. But a pretty interesting story, but yeah, they're not good people. And then, you know, I now don't know what I'm going to do on New Year's Day because I watched all of Cobra Kai season 5.
I meant to text you that. It's like, I'm like, why did they just, were you prepared for that to drop? Would that drop Friday?
It dropped Friday. I knew that it was on the horizon, but I wasn't expecting it this week. It took me by surprise a little bit, but of course when I saw it, I had to watch it. Did you watch any of it?
Three episodes. Yeah, we did three.
I don't
episodes.
Know why, but for some reason watching this season, and let's be fair, this show has always been really stupid and silly, but for some reason this season seemed so far-fetched to me, and maybe I got a little older, I don't know, but it seems really far-fetched. And, you know, we debated this before, and it was in a different context, but Daniel is really the a-hole.
I haven't seen the whole season, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of come around a little bit, but at least in the beginning part of it, he's really the instigator, and he's not doing anybody any favors.
Right.
But super fun. Again, this show is really great. There's no announcement yet on a season 6. This show ends where it could be the end, but it also sets up a potential season 6.
I feel
I actually would feel like this should be it.
Yeah.
Like, even though they left a bit of a cliffhanger, I don't care enough for it because every other character left in a good place. And so I feel like it should be done. And I kind of hope that it is done. So, and not that I wouldn't watch another season because it would have, it would still be fun.
Yeah, you're still going to be still all watch right, it. I've gone this far.
But if you look at all the journeys of all the characters, by the end of this season, everybody is exactly where they should be. And there's no real need for another
Right.
Another season of it. Yeah. But nothing stands out home theater wise. I mean, it's not even there's no Atmos. It's,
it's just a show. It's just almost like a sitcom.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
The karate sitcom. And Jen and I watched 3 episodes, and every episode we're like, wow, they're really reaching this season.
They are.
It really
feels
like they're reaching. But everything is sucked in.
Everything is life and death until you realize it's just a dojo. Like, it's just a karate dojo.
Yeah.
You know, he's not taking over the world. You know, it's not like Dr. Evil or Thanos. You know what I mean?
In a way,
just like,
no, in a way, like in Ozark, and you think the wife is the one, you're like, would you just stop? Let him. He knows what he's doing. In Cobra Kai, I feel like you said, like Danielson's wife, she's in charge. Like, just do what. Who cares?
Right.
Let him
just
do
move
it.
Just be like John. Because honestly, like, Johnny has moved on, and if Daniel had just moved on too, there's no season 5.
Just let it go.
Nothing. There's no reason for anything
to
happen.
Go. Oh, but, you know, but he's run. I mean, this isn't a spoiler to this season. This is the entire thing. He's running a dojo that I don't like. Okay.
Right. It's like, okay.
All right. Just ignore it. It'll go away. But he's going to be successful. All right.
Okay.
That means a bunch of people like it. Just let it go.
I don't like Starbucks, but like, I'm not out there trying to fight anybody.
Right. Exactly. You think of the violence that's taken place because
exactly
like you said. Yeah. You're like, in real life, you're like, they all would have been thrown in jail.
Yeah, right. Somebody should have been arrested by now. Like, they're throwing kids off the staircases in school. And
yeah, backs.
Of course, he
breaking.
Did go to. Yeah, yeah. I guess he went to juvie for that, but still, it just seemed super silly for some reason this year or this season, but it's still fun. Like,
exactly.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What else will we talk about?
Not
home theater wise, but
again, it's not a home theater experience at all, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
So,
all right. That'll do it. We stretched it a little bit. We're way over three hours this week.
We always are. That's just the norm. I don't even worry about it anymore.
I know. all right. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody for supporting us on Patreon. Like, subscribe, mash that whatever like button, all that
mash
on YouTube.
That like
Leave
button.
Us a bad comment if you want. They're hysterical. Right.
There's no such thing as bad press.
Oh, speaking of hysterical, you know what we haven't done? I never put out the poll.
Oh,
for the t-shirt giveaway.
Yeah,
I got to do that. I got to do that.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to remind me. I keep forgetting things. All right. I forget people's names. That's why I put your name at the bottom of the screen here for us.
So you remember
the hell I'm talking to.
I know.
All right. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back. I'll be back on Tuesday with Andrew, and John and I will be back with who knows what next week, but we will be back for another at least 10-minute long podcast. We'll check you out then.
Yeah. And we'll have 3 episodes of Andor next week, so maybe we can talk
by the
about
time
that.
We record?
Oh, no, you're right.
We
won't. That's right.
It's the following week.
Well, it'll be before the show airs, but it'll be after we record.
Correct.
So
right.
I guess we won't have
it. We won't have that. Maybe if I could get John to record
maybe the week
on a
after.
Thursday,
yeah.
No. All right. We'll be back on. We'll be back next week. Have a great week. John, what do they got to do?
Go push play.
Dance, monkey, dance.
I know. You need to get like a monkey that runs across the screen on YouTube.
I'll get
like
on.
An animation.
I'll get on that.
Yeah. When you're not hiking, you can get on that.
Oh, all right. Go push play, people.
All right.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.